appreciate everyone making the effort to be here today. Following COVID, it always seems like it's an effort to go anywhere. So I was telling Paul, I said, gee, it takes me an hour to get ready in the morning. I'm not used to that. So appreciate you all being here. I know anytime you have to come into Salt Lake, it's an ordeal. So much appreciated. It's a beautiful day. So hopefully some of the smoke clears out as we move through the day today. So that'll be even better. We've got some new faces, and we've got some faces missing. First of all, I'd like to excuse Kyle Stevens, who's not able to be with us today. He has to be excused, and we certainly grant him that. We have a new state treasurer, Marlo Oaks. Marlo, would you like to do a brief introduction? Or?
Sure. My name's Marlo Oaks. I grew up in Provo. Spent time in Hong Kong and Los Angeles, spent most of my career in investment management and investment banking, and just very happy to be here.
We're very happy to have you. And for today, we also have Deputy Treasurer Kirk Slaw with us again. Appreciate Kirk. Filled in for the last three or so months and did a very, very nice job. We're going to miss Kirk sitting in that seat, but we're glad he's here and still involved, and look forward to continuing to work with you. We also have Mayor Glade Nelson from Nephi City, who has yet to be fully confirmed, but he is sitting in today to kind of get the feel of things. So, Mayor, would you like to give a brief introduction? And Commissioner Lytle, maybe you can push the button for him.
Easy. Stand up? No?
No.
Sit down. Glade Nelson. Mayor of Nephi City, happy to be here, representing eventually Six County Association of Governments.
Board member in training.
I'll be taking copious notes and paying attention and learning and anxious and eager to contribute, make a difference, help out. Further the good things that need to happen. So,
wow, we're excited to have you with us. And on a more dour note, Pam Sjostrom, who's been our administrative support for the last couple of years and has done an absolutely fantastic job for all the insanity that's been happening in the last 2 years, including working with me. She's been great. She's an accepted position with agriculture. So she's moving from working with us cowboys to working with the cows, as I understand it. So probably a step up. So thank you so much for your service. And I, for one, and I know the rest of us will miss you as well. So.
Motion denied, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Denied.
Second.
Can always count on you to keep things real.
How much longer will
Pam be? A week.
This is it.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's heavy hearts, for sure.
She didn't give us a 2-week notice.
Yeah.
But almost. While we're speaking of such things, Mr. Zanotti had a special request for the board, so I'd like to give some time to him for that at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, everyone. Since my appointment to this board, and of course due to the recent restriction by the administration and the EPA, I have been working so hard with the Commissioner Adams to bring some kind of viable solution to fund the CIB and to cut the regulations and the EPA hands from our business, and of course save our depleting grant accounts and all the other money that we deal with on a daily basis. So we have come up with a beautiful and unique plan that we'd like to have your attention and consideration this morning. We would like to consider an investment in a large ranch near San Juan County. It is our plan to start rather small with about 1 million cats. That's right, cats. Each cat will average about 12 kittens per year. We have been checking around and figured that cat skin can be sold for about $5 for the white one and $10 for the black ones in the market. This will give us 12 million CAT scans per year to sell at the average price of $7.50, which will make our gross income at the $90 million per year. Commissioner Adams, who is familiar with the area, says that a good skinner can skin the cat about 50 of them per day. It will take about 25 men to operate the ranch, so we can expect the profit to be over $9,000 per day. Let us explain why there will be no other costs. The cats will be fed exclusively on rats. As you may know, rats multiply 4 times faster than cats. We would therefore start a rat ranch adjacent to our cat ranch. If we start with 1 million rats, we will have 4 rats per cat each day. Please follow up all the instructions. The beauty of our plan is that the rats will be fed on the carcasses of the cats we skin. This will give each rat 1/4 of a cat. You can see by this we will keep them fat and at the same time operate a very clean EPA-approved business that is self-supporting, almost automatic. In other words, the cats will eat the rats, and the rats will eat the cats, and we will get the skins. We already have contacted the major cities nationwide and have consignment for 1 million cats, free of charge. New York City and Chicago have contacted us in hopes they will send us 1 million rats, freight prepaid. Mr. Chairman, please let us know as soon as possible if you are interested to proceed with establishing this alternative fund, because CIB is running out of money and the time is of the essence. However, if there is any hesitation on your part, please consider this additional incentive. We will eventually crossbreed the cats with snakes, which will skin themselves twice a year. Then we will be truly automatic and will save the labor cost of skinning. Plus, we will end up with 2 skins per cat. Thank you for your consideration and hope to hear from you soon. Respectfully submitted, Nagi Sanadi, CIB Board.
So moved.
And Mr. Chairman, as you can see from the folder, we have already approached with the Small Business Development Center and they've approved the plan. Thank you.
I'll only accept a motion to put that on the pending list, giving further research.
Thank you.
The theoretics are beautiful.
All his idea.
Mr. Chairman, since this will be located in San Juan County, I feel it appropriate that I make the motion.
Of course.
Mr. Chairman, one more note. With doing this, San Juan County will be the top producing county in the state. And by doing so, he's entitled, Mr. Adams is entitled for all the grants he would like to have.
You know, we've done a number of projects over the years that have been a little bit outside of our normal. This one really takes it to a new level.
Yeah.
We may have to check the mineral lease statute on that.
Thank you.
Well, we've got a lot of important business to discuss today. It's going to be a long one, so I appreciate Mr. Zanotti starting us off on a lighter note. So from here on in, you'll have to buckle up and hold on. So thank you very much. As is our custom, we'll give Candace some time to do a briefing on the meeting. So, Ms. Powers? Well, in with a boom.
Just a couple of housekeeping notes to remind the board to mute their microphones, but make sure the microphones are on when they're speaking. If you haven't signed in, please sign in. The sign-in sheet at last meeting was a little bleak, so I'm reminding anyone who enters to please use the sign-in sheet. It should be noted that there are many ways to skin a cat.
I think we have a theme for the rest of the day.
This is the second review meeting of the first trimester of fiscal year 2022. We have 7 projects, new projects to discuss on today's meeting, and we have 2 supplemental requests on today's meeting. The Mineral Lease Fund will require some serious thinking because a lot of these projects have come in requesting a grant. Should the board fund everything as requested, there will not be sufficient funding for the funding meeting in October in the mineral lease account. That being said, in the bonus fund, there is sufficient funding to fund all loan requests plus any additional loan requests that the board can determine to be viable. You'll note in your board notes that are provided in Granicus, and hopefully you all got in and were able to look at this, at least the notes page, there are indicators on your note sheet. Green means the request is within the tool range. Their request is right under the title of the project. If it's purple, that means they are being more beneficial to CIB. They've asked for something that is well lower than what the tool range would give them. And if it's red, well, if it's red, it's below the tool range. If it's purple, they are taking more loan than the tool range would give them. As a reminder, and for those who do not know, the CIB has established a funding tool that provides a funding scenario. It gives a low, median, and high so that the board can be more consistent for same projects, for area difficulties, and for other issues that we're trying to be more consistent and still benefit all of rural Utah. So that's the reminder. With that, I'll turn over to the board until we start speaking of projects.
Wow, you got a sensitive microphone there, Candace.
I got the one.
You got the one. Thank you for that briefing. Going to do things a little bit differently today, starting off with some presentations and such before we go on to the projects, because I think they're pertinent to all of the communities. And while you're all here, we have you a captive audience, so we'll take advantage of that. First of all, as you look at the agenda, we've got 2 smaller projects. Of course, smaller is a relative term. What I mean is under $100,000. Traditionally, the way we've looked at these smaller projects is it's very difficult to bond for anything less than $100,000 because it costs approximately $10,000 just to go through the bonding process with legal fees and different requirements. And so we find ourselves in a bit of a conundrum. Because the tool is recommending that we do loans. You may see that as you look at the recommendations in the tool. And yet, it's financially not very feasible. One thing we have done in the past is give additional money to the community, an additional $10,000 or so that they can afford that. I don't know if that's a good solution, but it is an option, and it's viable and in order. What I would like to propose to the board is that we put something in the tool and into our practices, if not into our policy, that whenever there's a request for funding of $100,000 or less, rather than looking at loan, we look at a cash match, similar to what we do with planning grants. So there would be a required or a strongly recommended cash match. And what I'm proposing is for every $10,000 of request, there'd be $1,000 of match brought in by the community. And that can be their own cash. They can come in with a different grant or you know, funding source, whatever their preference would be. So, you know, if they wanted $100,000, they'd have to have at least $10,000 of cash into the project, so that they have some skin in the game, as we like to say. So that's a proposal for the board. Commissioner Lytle, you have a comment?
You're saying
comment.
Cash, not in kind or any other?
In kind is problematic in my mind. It can be cash, it can be their cash, it could be another grant or loan or whatever. But yeah, I would like it to see, you know, dollars.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. So, Commissioner Adams.
That's a little bit in line with what we've done with a lot of projects in the past. If somebody brings in a large amount of cash, we've looked very closely at matching that with a grant in a lot of our projects. So say somebody's coming in for for $1 million project and they're bringing in $500,000, a lot of times we'll just, I mean it's probably not every time, but it seems to me like the majority of the time we would match up whatever their cash was with a grant from the CIB.
Right.
So I like it. I like your idea.
So something to mull over. And again, we've got a couple projects today. I think Kusharem and Big Water are good examples of that. So something that we can consider. And if it is agreeable, we can decide if we want to make that part of our policy and those such things. But at this point, I don't care. At board's discretion. So, thank you.
That would be after today.
That yeah, I mean, however the board wants to. I mean, however you want to approach it.
Yeah,
it
wouldn't be somewhere in the future.
Right, yeah. It's something we could do at the funding meeting. And
well, it's good. I think it's good to have a guideline because it helps the applicants. But then it also, I mean, when we had like the $5 million. You know, the package. It's just a guideline, but it's I think it's meaningful to have some parameters.
Yeah. So I appreciate you indulging that and taking it under consideration. Also, for the board's information, per our division policy, all of our board meetings are being simulcast via Zoom. So there are people out there in Zoomdom that are listening in. Which seems appropriate with the resurgence of COVID and such things. But I personally do appreciate everyone who's made the effort to be here. I find the meetings are much more effective and enjoyable when we're face-to-face. Wearing masks is certainly at your discretion. You'll notice that I'm not masked. I'm hard enough to understand without. So a muzzle doesn't work very well. So just wanted you all to be aware of that. Next on our agenda, when we had our retreat a couple months ago in beautiful Bryce Canyon City, one of our staff members, McKenna Marchant, there's too many M's in that for me, sorry. See, that's why I don't wear a mask. Brought up a project that she was working on municipal cemeteries, and there was some interest by several board members on a follow-up. So we've invited McKenna, who's been working on this project over the last couple months, along with her capital improvement work and some other things, to come forward and give us a quick update on that project, again, per the board's request, and see if the board has any questions or direction they want to provide to McKenna. So McKenna, we'll invite you up and start off with that.
Yes. Scrolling through.
Yeah, as long as you have a microphone so that people can hear. This is like the wonderful Wizard of Oz. You just ignore what's happening behind the curtain and then it'll all be fine. Look too closely and it's going to be disconcerting.
Well, I think I'll stand anyway, Brenda, just so I can see people. It is so good to see you guys again. I've already chatted with a few, and I look forward to our discussions with others after the meeting. This project goes hand in hand with the capital asset project. Someone brought it up last time, and I mentioned I was actually already working on a project with cemeteries. Cemeteries are often the city's largest green space that they manage, but they're completely underutilized by a community, which is really sad. And so I just wanted to kind of do a little re-envisioning. The way we... What? You could. You could, yeah. This would actually be a really great way to combine those two. You might have to pick up a little bit of litter. But yeah, great use of the space. So cemeteries are really interesting. I'm going to keep it really brief today. So if any of you guys would like this link, and you can kind of go through this evolution of cemetery planning later, it's really interesting. Burial and death used to be really intertwined with regular life. And then due to rapid population growth and migration to cities, cemeteries got moved out of churchyards and kind of into the suburbs to kind of stop that spread of disease. And so with that, kind of that was kind of the start of the separation of death and life between the living and the dead. And then it just kept progressing from there. And so you can see that these garden cemeteries were also created, making them the world's first botanical gardens, since these were created before botanical gardens. So people would actually go to these lovely little garden cemeteries to go enjoy picnics, hunting, shooting, and carriage racing. So they were really out there and in the cemeteries, which was really cool. And then cemeteries and that experience became increasingly separated as funerals and those viewings moved out of homes and out of their like personal parlors and into funeral homes. And so you just see that distance continue to grow until we kind of have really boringized cemeteries now. And so they're not too fun to go to. And because there's such a stigma around death, not a lot of people go there except for on Memorial Days. So this project is really trying to re-envision that, because cities and communities, especially in rural Utah, like I said before, this is their biggest green space, but we don't use it at all. And so we don't go there, we don't visit there, except maybe once or twice a year. So this project has three different components: planning, so we're going to get some sample ordinances, and then we want to highlight the preservation, landscaping, record management, financial issues, and legislative compliance, and then also the landscaping. So a lot of the way we view cemeteries was created back in Europe, back in the eastern United States, and it's with these lush garden, green lawns, and it's great, it's easy maintenance, but unfortunately, here in the Intermountain West, we don't have the water to support it. I was talking to Commissioner Adams earlier, he just went down to Lake Powell, and the water level is super low, and I think you'll see that, and you guys have experienced that in a lot of our reservoirs here. That we just need to be a little bit more mindful of where we're putting our water. So using things like clover lawns instead, or just other landscaping ways, is a great way to save water for such a large green space that we hardly utilize. If any of you guys have heard of Localscapes, I am actually working with them to create, they've kind of got a five-step like landscaping plan for residential yards, and we're actually working together to develop one for cemeteries. So it'll be kind of like a five-step landscaping plan for cemeteries that cities can use that can cut down on some of that water. And then we also want to celebrate the history and preservation of these areas, using these areas as like walkable museums instead of just leaving them. So getting a history of the cemetery, focusing on that macro history. Excuse me. Focusing on the macro history of the area, which is the history of the community. And so having plaques throughout the cemetery so people can go through the cemetery and experience the history of an area as they're walking through the cemetery. Get the pioneer history, get the pre-pioneer history, get war history, and see different monuments throughout the history. Get some old wagons in there, some different art exhibits, and memorials. And then also highlight the macro history of the individuals who are buried in the cemetery. So this comes a lot with the preservation of the area. And I am working with a couple different sources. But So Spanish Fork Cemetery, you can actually go on to a map there, and you can click on the plot, and you can read a family history of the people who are buried there. So linking these maps, these GIS maps, to, like, family search or ancestry, getting a way to get into the cemeteries and see the individual histories of people that are buried there, and then also focusing on the preservation of these gravestones. The overhead watering actually causes the deterioration of these headstones quite quickly. And so as those minerals bake onto the headstones, it actually causes them to deteriorate quite quickly. And they're the markers that we put there to preserve the memory of the people who were buried in that cemetery. So I'm gonna, there's a outreach section right here so that people can kind of get into cemeteries, see some common symbolism that's on graves. And I'd like to really buff this section out, make it a little bit more of an outreach section. So if people want to go into cemeteries, they can use it to get into there. And then we're also partnering with our student program to do a bunch of different projects. So this is kind of our project list that we want to complete for this project. And that is where it is at so far. Does anybody have any questions?
I appreciate that, McKenna. As you know, CIB gets approached for financing different aspects of cemeteries and such from time to time. And in very rural communities, I mean, cemeteries are oftentimes the biggest asset, but also the biggest liability that community has, or one of the largest. And so it makes sense that we look at this a little bit, and it's kind of fun that McKenna is doing so with a kind of a different perspective on ways that we can do things. And as we're in the, in a 100-year drought, looking at, a lot of our rural cemeteries don't have lawn, but many do, especially in some of the larger communities, and may not be sustainable. So some interesting things to think about. And again, McKenna's open to any questions this time. Otherwise, she'll continue to work on this project, and we'll when it's finished, we'll certainly make the results available not only to the board but to all of the communities. So,
how much are we spending on this study?
It's McKenna's time is the only real expense. And what percentage of your time, McKenna, would you say you're working on this? There you go.
It depends on the day. Probably a weekly amount is like 20% of my time right now.
Okay.
Just because that, with the capital asset program kicked off, this is getting a bigger focus of my time.
Right. And just so everyone knows, we don't pay our planners nearly enough. So. As the board knows, we've developed approximately 100 different tools, guides, and resources for communities, particularly rural communities that CIB serves. We have access to nearly 150 total resources, and again, some of those we've borrowed and things, that's pretty much what our office does, and then we work hand in hand with the regional planners at the AOGs to make sure that those things are being delivered to your communities, and those who work in your communities. So,
thank you.
Okay. All right. The other question that the board has been pursuing is an initiative I think that Commissioner Adams kind of initiated. And Mr. Zanotti perpetuates in how we continue to keep this a permanent fund, which is in the title. It is the Permanent Community Impact Board Fund. And so Deputy Treasurer Slaw, we'd like to invite you to come forward. He's been working on this. Commissioner Adams has been working on this. The Attorney General Waite has... that might be a promotion, huh?
Yeah.
has been working on this as Paul Moberly. So I guess Deputy Treasurer, we'll start with you. And is Deputy Treasurer the right title?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Push your button. Make sure you're speaking into the microphone.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Chair. Thanks for having me here again. And certainly in my short time on the board, I really enjoyed it, and I enjoy getting to know each one of you and the great work that the CIB does. So thanks for having me back to follow up on this one item. As Chairman Heaton mentioned, In my very first board meeting was the retreat, and we went down and we were discussing the loss of revenue, and it sounds like Mr. Zanotti has a great solution for that already. So maybe I should just go sit down, because I don't know that we really need anything more than that. That sounds like it's going to be plenty. And as I was thinking, you know, I think we could, you know, since this is going on in San Juan County, you know, cats are pretty hard to keep corralled, as we all know. But if you could just stick them at the top of one of those big butte monuments up there, I think that would be the perfect spot for the cats. So they couldn't get down. So anyway, Commissioner Adams brought up, well, hey, you know, what about all the ARPA funds? Would it be appropriate for CIB to go after some of these federal funds that are intended to backstop a lot of the revenue losses? And as we know, a lot of the revenue losses here aren't directly related to COVID, but they are kind of directly related to the economic environment and some of the responses to the economic environment. So to go after some of those federal funds seemed appropriate to me. So I said, yeah, I think that sounds like it would be appropriate. One of the things that Commissioner Adams mentioned is, you know, perhaps we could start an endowment. Unfortunately, as I got talking with GOMB and researching the ARPA funds, that part's probably not going to be possible, because the provisions of ARPA indicate that they need to be committed by the end of 2024 and then fully expensed by the end of 2026. So that doesn't necessarily leave a lot of room legally. And again, a lot of this stuff, I think we should have our AG office weigh in on, in terms of the legal availability of some of these programs. But and I've kind of been pushing GOPB to involve the AG's office a little bit more, as they field questions from all over the state, not just CIB, but a lot of people are asking about ARPA funds. But anyway, the way I understand it, and it's just my understanding, is that an endowment really wouldn't be possible because of that. They have to be fully expensed. But that is 4 years that we could backfill a lot of the revenue losses. So there's several different buckets that qualify for ARPA. A lot of those are health-related and wouldn't necessarily apply to CIB, but there's kind of two areas that we're looking at right now. So first of all, there's a provision given in ARPA for sewer and water and also broadband infrastructure. And so I know CIB sees a number of sewer and water projects that come through here. A lot of those should qualify under ARPA. One question that Ms. Powers proposed just a couple of days ago when we were talking was, you know, if we were to access ARPA money, would that subject this to some of the, you know, Davis-Bacon and Buy American Steel Act? And fortunately, the answer to that question is that based on the guidance that the administration is giving right now, they would not, unless we're also in tandem accessing other federal monies that are subject to that. So if it's just funded by ARPA, the guidance they're telling us is that no, we wouldn't be subject to Davis-Bacon or American Steel Act. So that's good news. So the two areas, sewer and water, broadband infrastructure, that's one. We know the state has a number of ways that municipalities can access funding for sewer and water. You know, you got revolving loan funds at DEQ, you got revolving loan funds at Drinking Water, Division of Water Resources as well. So where the legislature would decide to, you know, make an allocation to fund sewer and water specifically, we would have to determine if CIB would be the right place for that. But that is one possibility. And then the next possibility, which is probably even better, is loss of revenue. So the administration allows ARPA funds to backstop loss of revenue. And that's loss of revenue due to COVID, not loss of revenue due to the administration's poor policies. My understanding is that GOPB is involved with the Tax Commission and several others to try and determine what that loss of revenue from COVID is. And when I spoke with Taylor Kaufman yesterday, who's in the office of GOPB, he mentioned that it's still anywhere from $50 to $700 million, and they don't know exactly where where that's going to fall, but I believe it's going to probably be closer to the $700 million when all is said and done. And so the CIB could go after some of those loss of revenue funds. And in those instances, so that's the qualifier, is it's a loss of revenue. So then the end use in terms of what we use the project, we could use it for anything. So that would include road construction and other things that weren't specifically outlined in ARPA, because the qualifier is the loss of revenue, if that makes sense. So really, that's all I know. So if we wanted to go after those funds, we probably could. I think it's been raised by a few people that, you know, who has the power or authorization to go after that? Would that be the board? Would that be CIB staff? Is that something that DWS should be coordinating? That part I don't know, and maybe that's somewhere where the AGs can help us out. Is, you know, we want an orderly process, right, as we kind of approach the legislature and give them ideas about how they can appropriate the money. Certainly CIB, I think, makes a lot of sense because we're already staffed with staff and a process to review, you know, small and large dollar, you know, infrastructure projects and ensure that there's not waste or additional going that doesn't need to be allocated. So I think CIB makes sense in a lot of ways, but I think it needs to be a little bit, we need to kind of have a broader perspective on how we go after that. That's just my thoughts. Anyway, I know there's been others that have been working on this, so if anybody from CIB staff wants to weigh in on this as well.
Okay. Thank you. I'm happy
to take questions. Not to say that I'm an expert on this by no means. I've talked to Sophia DeCaro a few times, and I've talked to, you know, Taylor Kaufman a few times, and that's really it. So, but any questions, I guess, from the board?
So that's probably a unique thought to those folks that you talked to about. See, I'm guessing they didn't come up with that idea ahead of you bringing it to them, or CIB helping disseminate the funds. Did you get a feel from them?
Are you talking about GOPB?
GOPB.
Yeah, like Sophia DeCaro.
Yeah, no,
she seemed pretty open to it. You know, I didn't feel like anybody thought it was a terrible idea or that
it would be way out
of line to be asking. Certainly they're fielding the same questions from a lot of places in the state, but, you know, they said, well, this is kind of what you'd be looking at, so.
Thank you for your effort.
You bet.
Commissioner Adams, and then we'll go to Commissioner Ogden.
Am I up?
Yep, Commissioner Adams, then.
Yeah, I know I'm kind of out of sight.
You are. I put you right where you're in sight.
All right. I guess one of my questions is, you know, as I started thinking about all of this, I used to teach fifth grade math, so I have to approach it from a fifth grade math level. But I learned a long time ago that that $1 billion is 1,000 millions, and now we're talking about an infrastructure bill that is $1 trillion or many trillions of dollars. That's 1,000 billions. Now, I know you're lost already, right? So if we went, the state has somewhere between 1.3 and 1.9 billion dollars from ARPA funds. And just talking to other commissioners and talking to lobbyists and so forth, we just kind of came up with a random number of 200 million to be given to the CIB. At one time we were talking 50 million a year for 4 years, but then one of the senators I was talking to says, why don't we just go after 200 million in one year, because it's got to be spent in a 4 year period, apparently. So you have 22 counties in the state of Utah that have access to CIB funds, and it's kind of, CIB kind of funds things on a rural level, not so much on an urban level, and I think we recognize that as rural commissioners and rural leaders, really the two pots of money that we get access to in rural Utah are CIB funds and TRT and TRCC funds. So we don't have access to a lot of the money, that maybe UDOT has access to. And I suggested that UDOT look at building a four-lane highway all the way to San Juan County at one time, and they said, well, geez, that'll take $1 billion.
Our new plan is going to pay for it. Don't
yeah,
worry.
I just said, well, that's only $1,000 million. So, but if we were able to access $200 million for 22 counties, that's about, I don't know, is that $10 million per county? I mean, that. So counties would have to come up with some projects in 4 years to be funded at the level of about $10 million a county.
Then it goes back.
And, you know, right. San Juan, if we get the cats, we're going to have to get $50 million, you know, to do the cat project. But talking to some of the legislators, they like the fact that CIB has a mechanism to distribute the money mm-hmm. in kind of a fair and judicious way. Not everybody thinks that, but I think that. But they already have the mechanism to distribute that money, and that money's got to be distributed in 4 years. If we don't distribute it, then the state will lose it. Is that correct? Will they take the ARPA money back if you haven't spent it?
Yes.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe counties ought to be thinking about some projects, and I know some of you already are. If we don't spend a lot of our mineral lease money in the next 4 years, and we spend ARPA money, then that builds up the mineral lease account for a four-year period. I think right now, Candace, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't say anything. I think we're getting about $14 million a year now in mineral lease funds from the state, federal government, kind of up and down. And we've been at a point where we received as much as $100 million a year, haven't we? So you can see what's happened with the revenues. We've gone to over $100 million down to where we're only getting about $14 million. Try to divide up $14 million in 22 counties. That's not a lot. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, there are needs, not wants. There are needs in rural Utah. And if the state decides that this is the way to do it, I think counties can get on track and probably do some of this stuff. But how much pressure do we want to try and put on the legislature? Do they have the final say for these funds?
The legislature will have the final say. Certainly, they'll take the recommendations of the governor's office.
Sure.
And so the governor's office is definitely very involved with trying to decide the best and most appropriate uses. But you're certainly right. I think, you know, Paul, I think you've noticed as you've been researching this too, there's a lot of competition for these funds. Even though that's a lot of money, there's never enough money to make everybody happy. And so there's going to be a lot of competition for the funds. So if we do decide to go after it, we'll need a strategy. And I don't disagree with anything you said, Commissioner Adams. I think CIB is structured very well to get the money out to some of these communities that is fairly unique to the state. So mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of good reasons why CIB makes sense, I think, for a lot of these funds. But I'm sure there's other agencies that are making the same cases for their agencies.
Well, wait till Romney's multi-trillion dollar infrastructure bill hits the state. the spreadsheet that he sent to me looks like the state of Utah could be dealing with $109 billion out of the infrastructure bill that's coming out.
Yeah.
You know, what's infrastructure? I mean,
cats.
Yeah, yeah. It could be, couldn't it, when it gets up to $4 and $5 a
year. Yeah. No,
but, there's a lot of water projects, and I'm sure that infrastructure bill, I don't know how they're going to deal with the infrastructure bill, who's going to oversee that, but, you know, CIB ought to position themselves again.
Right.
For infrastructure funds.
So there's one more detail I should probably mention, and that is that GOPB is essentially starting their own application municipal fund process to be able to distribute directly to the cities and counties through their own application funding process. So, they're kind of duplicating what CIB does in that regards, and so they may decide that, funding their own programming, having their own board decide that. And my understanding, there's two legislators that are on that committee. And, I can't remember. Do you remember, Paul, who was all on that committee?
Yeah, the head of GOPB.
So Sophia DeCaro.
Yeah. And, the head of ULCT and UAC.
That's right.
Yeah, well,
ULCT
again,
and UAC, and then they're going to be able to distribute directly
again,
to the cities and counties. But
not much representation from rural Utah.
That's right.
On that board, right?
Yeah. Well, one legislature, actually, the one from the there's one rural legislature actually of the two.
So we got one. Huh?
From I think they're from Carbon and Emery counties, that area.
Would that be David Hinkins?
No.
Watkins?
Might be Watkins.
Well done, Jack.
Well, we're talking about more money than I can even think about. I mean, it's just crazy. But if GOPD is going to fund other things, there's still, if we take $200 million, there's still over $1 billion of ARPA money. I mean, it looks to me like a combination of the two would be good.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense if, Chairman Heaton, if you decide that that's something that you think we should pursue, certainly, I guess, I think we got to coordinate that through our Attorney General and decide how we want to approach that and who has the authority to go after that. But it sounds like the board would be supportive. I don't know if any action is required, but...
Probably not at this point.
Well, just to let you know, in September, USAC, which our illustrious president of USAC is here on the board, they're having a meeting in Midway in September, and we've invited Keith and Candace and legislators and others to come up and hear from county commissioners about applying for the or trying to influence them to put the $200 million into CIB because that's a distribution point. And my understanding is from some of the people we've talked to is that the president of the Senate and the speaker of the House have said, that sounds like a reasonable idea. And they haven't said yes or anything, but they haven't said no. So... Greg, I know this is foreign to you. The glass is half full, It's not half empty here yet. So.
That's good. Commissioner Ogden, you had a question?
Just a quick question. As we go down this path and we try to find ways to sustain ourselves as CIB, I haven't looked at it for quite a while, but the state of Nebraska has a mechanism in place that they do some things and they fund themselves But I'd have to go back and find that. I don't have that information here. But what they do is they take so much of their money every month, and they put so much of it away every month. They only fund so up to a certain amount, and then they put the other away for the next tranche of requests. But every month I just continue to put just a little bit away, and it might be something to consider and look at.
If I may.
Commissioner Lytle.
So with the USAC part of it, with USAC, that's going to be part of the agenda. Is they're going to do some research, the staff from UAC, on the that Nebraska model. But at the same time, I would like to make sure that you're invited to UAC, to that USAC meeting, because I think that will add more robust conversation with what you brought up, as well as the Attorney General's office. I'm saying that preliminarily as you speak, but I'd like to make sure you're invited, because I think that would be a good roundtable with the staff, with you guys. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yeah, well, actually, we have somebody in the audience today that's well-versed on the Nebraska, and that's Commissioner Bushman. He's researched that quite a bit. In fact, I think he's thrown it out to all of us about their model and what they do, and so if we have any questions.
Could we ask Commissioner Bushman to come up and give us a briefing?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, I've done a lot of research, and I've been pushing this on every CIB board member that I have had access to for the last 8 years. But the Nebraska Community Foundation is a foundation where they started with a single foundation, and it spread out to where they have multiple funds in basically every city in Nebraska now has their funds. It's been several years since I sat in the last presentation, but they had communities of 450, 500 people that had their own $400 million endowment, throwing off a 7 to 10% return. Their model at that time was they put 70% of the return into the communities in the forms of grants and loans and other things, but they always took 30% of the return and plow it back into the endowment. I have reached out to their CEO, Mr. Yost, trying to get him to our September Utah Association of Counties conference. We're trying to work that out and see if we can schedule that. But it's a very intriguing model. It not only has relied on some state funding to get that started, but they count on community wealth gifting, and they have an active participation program where people are able to leave a portion of their estate to the foundations so that the foundations continue to contribute in their communities in perpetuity. And it's an incredible fund. It's an incredible model. And I can only think that if we'd have been plowing 30% of all of the mineral lease monies received by this board over all the years that it's been functioning, what that endowment would look like today and what it would be returning. You wouldn't be here wringing your hands about these requests. I believe it's a really strong model. I'm working hard to try and get Mr. Yost here for that September meeting. I'd encourage you to attend if we're able to pull that off. So,
thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Zanotti.
Following up with the Commissioner Adams' math calculations, first of all, the $1 million doesn't go anywhere anymore. In the UDOT chapter, we have $1 million for 1 mile of road in this economy. So $200 million is not going to buy us that much opportunities, but it is a good money to have, the seed money for some kind of projects. And my understanding from our Bible is that we can, as a body of this board, do the policy making and request that, because we have the opportunity to spend, we oversee the stewardship of the money that we get from this legislator. So this will be another one on another preview, so we can ask for it. And Mr. Chairman can sign off on that, and we can request through whatever entity we need to do. But that's my understanding, that we can do the policy initiated and requested. And believe me, 4 years, we're going to spend more than $200 million in this body. So let's request it, let's get it, and let's spend it.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti.
Do you need a motion?
No, not yet. Thank you, though. Aaron, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
No, the only thing I would add is that in the statute addressing where the CIB gets its money, the catch-all provision is, and all other money appropriated or otherwise made available to the impact fund by the legislature. So I admit I do not know what the process is as far as making the request goes, but it certainly would have to be appropriated or otherwise made available by the legislature.
Thank you, Aaron. Paul, did you have anything you wanted to add? Candace, did you have a question?
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Just a reminder of how CIB works, and it will continue to work this way. We don't put money into anyone else's account. It is in a construction escrow to do these projects, and we would continue to do so. Is it only grant? You have to grant it? Can it be loan?
It's a combination.
The ARPA money?
I don't know. That would be something we'd have that I'd look. Somebody would have to look into.
I'd have to look. It has to be spent certainly by December 2026.
Right. Right. Yeah, it pretty much has to be a grant because the loan term would have to be
short.
Would spend it. You would already build the project, but you're paying a loan now, so it would have been spent.
How
would that work?
Yeah, I asked that question to Taylor at least, and those deadlines are hard.
You can't still be paying the loan back.
Candace, that would be a good question for a competent bond attorney. They're the ones that deal with those sorts of issues because it deals with loan repayment, and tax treatment, and stuff like that, and so. You know, we could probably get somebody involved that could answer that, but it doesn't have to be spent by 2024. It has to be spent by 2026, right? It has to be committed by 2024. So that, you know, if we had projects that were outstanding and working on a reimbursement basis, they would have till 2026 actually to spend that down. But to be spent by 2026.
And as I understood it, if we had loaned it out, then we'd have to return those funds because they still are ARPA funds at that point.
Why couldn't we do the loans out of the bonus fund and the grants out of the ARPA funds?
Right. I agree with that, Commissioner. So let's do this. Rather than taking a motion at this meeting, let us continue to work on this for the next month or so, put together some proposals for the board to consider and discuss. I think there's pretty good consensus around the table. So let's just put something in order so that we can have a pointed motion. And in the meantime, those who have been working on this, we'd appreciate it if you would continue to pursue some of these things. And our staff will put together a proposal for the board to consider the next meeting or at the funding meeting. So I'm with Commissioner Lytle.
So with that, I thought there was a salient point that Treasurer Slaugh made was, are we doing this as the CIB board ultimately, and will we have discussion with the board and with yourselves as agency representatives how this is going to look in the long run?
Yeah, and that's one of the things we need to work out over the next, 30 days is what's the desire of the governor, and vis-a-vis the Department of Workforce Services, Housing Community Development, and then how does that work with the board? So that's one of the things we need to figure out.
Okay,
so.
Thank you.
Quick question. So is there a time frame on when it has to be allocated?
The request has to be in, right, by, is it the legislative session or is it before? Does anyone know?
My understanding is the legislative session. They have to deal with this money in the next session.
Okay, that's...
I could be wrong, but... Oh.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. So...
Do you have an answer to that question?
Yeah, he does.
We'd like to invite you forward if you could... take the mic there with, next to the Attorney General representative, and just state your name and answer the question.
Commissioner Brent Chamberlain, King County. As I understand it, well, in October, the latter part of October, the legislature will be coming back and re-dealing with these issues with this ARPA money, making decisions concerning that. And my understanding is that they will make that decision at that October meeting. So by the end of October, they will have either done it or not. So whatever you're going to do needs to be done before then. Leadership is well aware of this. I would work with the leadership and be sure that, you know, as Bruce has been doing, and there's a lobbyist that's been involved in this, and I would work with the leadership and be sure you don't step outside of what they want to have happen. I'd ask them what they want to see that they can use and take to this session they do in October. That's my understanding.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate you. That, and you're spot on, and that's something, again, I wanted to work through before we accepted a motion. So, I think that time was right. So, thank you all for that discussion. Deputy Treasurer Slaw, Attorney General's Office, Aaron Waite, Paul Moberly on our team, Commissioner Adams, everyone, appreciate that. And let's again keep those conversations going. Our office will continue to try to take point on that and keep things moving, and we'll come forward with a recommendation. So, okay. All right. Well, appreciate everyone for your patience. Hopefully you found the conversation helpful. I think, are ready to move forward with our meeting agenda. And before we consider our first application, we do need to consider the approval or acceptance of the minutes from the July 1 meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
Second that.
I'm sorry. I saw Mayor Baker,
that's
but
all right.
I heard,
second.
And which really is messing with my brain. Okay, we'll give that to Commissioner Ogden on the second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed or abstaining?
I abstain.
Okay, so that motion carries with the abstention of Treasurer Oakes, who was not at that meeting. So, thank you. Okay. Our first project, we'd like to invite forward Sevier County Municipal Building Authority. And while they're coming forward, our fund manager, Powers, will give us a briefing on this project. If you're ready.
Yep. Number one on today's agenda for projects to discuss is the Sevier County Municipal Building Authority for the Central Utah Counseling Building in Richfield. The request is for $3,520,000, of which there's an $875,000 loan, 30-year at 0%, and a $2,645,000 grant. The median range of the loan tool is a $2,324,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, and a $1,196,000 grant. The applicant has $100,000 cash. They're contributing, so the project total is $3,620,000. This project is for the renovation and construction of the Central Utah Counseling Facility at Richfield. It's a 7,700 square foot clinical office and a 2,500 square foot day treatment building and a 2,808 square foot expansion of the existing residential facility. The applicant has indicated that CIB is the best avenue. The outpatient office is over capacity. It was built in 1976, and it's been added to several times. In the public hearing minutes, they've indicated that there's no financial impact to the residents of Sevier County because it's not with property tax. The money to construct the facility would be taken from the mental health programs that are currently in place. My question for the board to consider is, do they have approval to use those funds? They're also, the building would be ADA compliant. The residential spaces fill the capacity and additional spaces needed. Another question for the board to ask on this project is, who owns the current building? And with that, I will turn it over to the board.
Thank you, Candace. Just for all of the applicants' information, it seems to have become a bit of a practice among some applicants. I sound really loud to me.
to think that this is a negotiation with the board. I just want to be clear to everyone here that that's not why we're here, to negotiate. We want to learn about your project. From what we're seeing, it's a good project, and all of the projects appear to be good projects. You know, we have a funding tool that sends out parameters that the board is using as guidance. Of course, with that, the board does have some discretion. But again, you know, this isn't an auction, not a negotiation. So we do want to understand about your project. We understand about your financial situation. This project in particular appears like there is some type of revenue source, so we want to learn about that as much as possible in a brief amount of time. Another problem that we've had is some of these projects have gone on for over an hour, discussion, which is a bit much. So if we can be succinct, that's appreciated. So anyway, sorry, that's the burden of being the first, but it applies to everyone here and in the future as well. So excuse me, gentlemen, if you'll please introduce yourselves and then tell us about your project.
And so I'm Nathan Strait. I'm the director at Central Utah Counseling, Richard Anderson. He's our CFO. And before I jump in, and we will be brief, I want to just point out to Mr. Zanotti that there is one thing that I think you overlooked, that there will be an environmental impact to this. If I did my math right, there's going to be 4 million hairballs floating and drifting around San Juan County, and I'm not sure that that's a good environmental impact for the tourism industry and the well-publicized trail rides that take place in San Juan County.
So noted.
But on a positive note, I think you could use those for insulation if you would gather those up. So, appreciate the board meeting with us and taking the time and considering our project. I'll turn the time over to Richard Anderson, who will talk about the specifics of what it is that we're trying to accomplish with our project.
Thank you, Nate. Kind of interesting. I don't know which straw that was we drew that come after the discussion of this morning, but we're here sitting. I will also note that we do have Commissioner Darren Bushman from Paiute County with us. And as you see, we're here as Sevier County MBA, but we have a Paiute County Commissioner, and I think that just goes to show that this project is not really a Sevier County project. This is a six-county-wide project. Specifically, Wayne and Paiute counties are affected by this project, as that's the home base, the team head location for those counties, the way our agency is set up. So I will be as brief as possible. This is a worthy project. If we weren't here, being here, you know, shows that we've met those steps and taken those steps, and we're here. We know that we need to update this building that is, you know, from 1976. One of the biggest issues for us is the ADA accessibility. More than half of our offices are either upstairs or downstairs in that building, and our clientele simply are not, you know, physically capable, some of them, of being able to go up and downstairs. And so that's a big concern for us. We did look at, you know, what are our options? Do we remodel? If we remodel, we'd have to tear down more than half the building to fix that ADA issue. We have, over the years, have been acquiring property. If you look back, actually, some of the property that's in that map, the home that's there kind of that's underneath our the proposed new clinical office, that was purchased in 2003. We bought homes along 300 East where her house is now during this year. So we've contributed just in this last year roughly $800,000 in properties in preparation for preparation to do a project like this. A few other things to note. I know that you, Mr. Chairman, you mentioned the tool, and we understand that's a very important part of this process. I would mention that the tool is built to only allow the input for Sevier County and cannot, and it does not, at least to my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, it does not allow the input of, okay, this facility serves Paiute County. It also serves Wayne County. With the proposal that is here, the 8 beds that we would add to our residential facility, those folks that are in there could be from any one of our 6 counties. And the board did help us construct the 8 beds in 2015, and that building was at capacity within a few months. And so we knew we needed 16. We worked with the board, and they were very gracious to grant those funds to allow us to build that facility. It is a capacity, and we need to expand it. Currently, we're using some of those properties that we bought. We have our staff split, so we have other staff in separate buildings on other pieces of ground on the block. It's a safety concern, you know, with some of the clientele that we come in. We have a person coming in meeting in a building. We try to have other people in there, but that may not always be the case. So we have, you know, a mentally ill client with a staff member, and so there's some security issues there. You know, proper check-in doesn't happen. So there's a lot of different things that are in play here with our current situation. You know, one of the things you'll see on there with what the tool has calculated, you know, that dollar amount for us is a therapist position. So, you know, some of the things that we do, MCOT, Mobile Crisis Outreach, is a new program for us. So with that payment that's calculated there, that would be a full-time position of someone that could be in the community, that could be, you know, helping treat a suicidal person in the community. It could be helping the sheriff's office. You know, it could be in the drug courts. It could help with in school settings. So that's a significant number for us. And so we appreciate the board's consideration of the project. I also, you know, as far as funding for us, you know, commissioners may say that I'm wrong with this. I think that, you know, taxing, we're not a taxable entity. We couldn't apply for ARPA funds ourselves, Central Utah Counseling Center. You can see we're here as Sevier County MBA. So we're kind of this in-between type of agency. And so there's some funding that just simply isn't available to us. The other important thing is, you know, the state legislature. We can receive funding in July, and then a special session can take that away in January. Our Medicaid funding is at times dependent upon the administration in Washington. And so, you know, when we look at a project like this, we have to look at our funding over the last 30 years. I've been with the agency for 20. My predecessor had been there for 35. And, I mean, there were stories of, you know, we need to hold this check and not send it out for a few days until we get, you know, enough funds in our bank account. And so, you know, for us, you know, I know the question will come up, well, you know, can you afford this much? That's a difficult question, because we do have to look at that over the 30-year span of what the terms would be. And so looking backwards, we've had, you know, good times. We've had really, really hard times as well. So we appreciate the board's consideration of the project. I don't know, Nate, if you have anything to add, or Commissioner Bushman.
Darren Bushman, Paiute County. Start off, first of all, I told Glade, I said, congratulations, and you've now got your ankle bracelet. I really do appreciate all the time and commitment that you guys put in. What you do is critical to rural Utah. I respect the time and commitment that you make. Seems like every time I reach out to Commissioner Ogden for something, he's like, well, I have a CIB this or a CIB that. So, again, I just want to thank you for those of you that serve and the time that you spent doing that. Just to give you a little bit of flavor, Sevier County, Paiute, Wayne, some of the highest suicide rates in the state of Utah. What the work that they're doing in this area is absolutely critical. The Central Utah Counseling Center is kind of a misnomer. It really is centers, because if you look at our geographic boundary, we are from the western border of the state of Utah all the way to Hanksville, from Santaquin to Circleville. So facilities are always an incredible challenge for us. These two gentlemen have really taken the bull by the horns to try to put together a facility master plan. I think one thing the application doesn't probably show fairly is the nearly $1 million I think that we've spent acquiring real estate on this master plan to get this facility to where it will meet the needs. We've been doing that slowly as we could afford and as the opportunities presented themselves to acquire mostly residences there on the block. So I think the work that they've done there is crucial to prepare us for this stage, and it has been a significant investment that we've made there. Just to give you a little bit of a flavor, Paiute County's general fund budget's $1.2 million. So when we look at trying to help fund a building of this size, Jack asked me the other day, he says, how come you don't contribute more? And I said, well, Jack, since I've been on the board 9 years, every year our commitment to mental health has gone up every year of those 9 years. And since I've sat on this board, our inpatient medical costs in the operation, I watched our first year inpatient was $180,000. In our board meeting last night, we were presented with a $1.2 million bill for inpatient medical costs. So this is not a small problem in the state of Utah, and the challenges that these centers experience are just incredible. And unfortunately, there's not a good revenue mechanism to fund facilities. So I appreciate your consideration on this. I think these guys have done an excellent job in trying to plan for the future. 2014, they came before the board with a plan hoping to build a 16-bed facility, and we just couldn't swing it. The money wasn't there, the CIB, and we weren't able to pay the loan that was there, so we ended up downsizing the project to the 8-bed facility, which we've now obviously outgrown. But these guys, they've done a really good job of putting together a master plan that I think will take us forward for many years. So thank you for your consideration on it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anything else, Richard?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Now let's go to the board for questions. Commissioner Adams, start with you.
Just a couple of questions. You serve 6 counties. I'm just wondering, what is your annual budget?
We're about $10 million total.
$10 million? And I should know this, so I'm going to be really stupid. Tell me some of the sources of revenue that you get.
So our funding starts, and each local mental health authority is the same. Our funding starts with a state's required by state statute, a county contribution. So it's a 20% match on state dollars that we receive. So it starts there with the county dollars. That matches state dollars. We have roughly $1.4 million in state funding. Then we receive Medicaid funding, so we have to match our Medicaid funds. And so of that $1.4 million in state funding, we match our Medicaid dollars. We spend a little over $1 million in Medicaid match. And so that leaves very little of those state dollars remaining that we can provide other services. Mm-hmm. And so we receive county funding, which is used to match state dollars, and then those state dollars are used to match Medicaid dollars. And so there are little bits that are left over that mm-hmm. we can use, but that's really the basis of our funding.
And approximately from the 6 counties, approximately how much money do you receive from the total from the 6 counties in matching funds?
About $280,000 roughly.
That's it?
That's it.
So out of this $10 million budget, the majority of that goes to serve patients.
Correct. The majority of that, I think I calculated it, I looked at it, 67% of that is just straight up wages and fringe for our staff. You know, we're a service industry, so the majority of our costs are for that. And then what's left over is, you know, vehicle costs, building costs, all of that. So
I noticed McDonald's are paying people $18 an hour with fringe benefits. You probably have to pay a little more than that, don't you?
We have a lot of people that are less than that.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Some of our starting case managers in the $12 and $14 an hour range.
You need to pay people more.
We know that. It's been a real discussion. I mean, Nate mentioned that to us. What are we going to do if that minimum wage? So percent may go up for us.
So how much money do you have left over to pay a loan? Zero is a good answer.
It is. As we've looked at that, we've had loans that we've been paying and are paying on loans right now. As Richard talked about, how our funding fluctuates from year to year.
The tool and what it kicked out, it would be very difficult for us to be able to make that amount in loan payment. It would be very difficult for us. If we could get that to the $30,000-$40,000 annual amount, we could do that.
What was the amount the tool kicked out, Paul? I can't.
The median on tool was around 90, wasn't it?
No.
91,
yeah.
368. Am I looking at that correctly?
On the payment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel your pain.
Let's go there, Commissioner Lytle.
Got a couple of questions. What's your expected revenue on the sale?
Of our current facility?
Yeah.
Unknown.
We know you paid a lot to get the land you bought. Are
correct.
You hoping for similar on the sale?
I would guess that it's a building that, again, is old, doesn't have a lot of parking space. If you look at the map, it's an unknown. We looked at another facility that sold another building. It was a commercial business. It sold for, I think, $600,000 that was on Main Street in Richfield. Again, we feel the land is you know has some value there, but again, it's Richfield. It's not like it's you know
State
Street.
You're talking to somebody from Daggett, so
yes, yes.
I get it.
I understand. So.
And part of the challenge there, I think, too, is that depending on what is decided here, will determine on what we're going to do going forward. If, for instance, we cannot build the facilities as described in our project, we would need to be able to keep that building. It would not go up for sale. We would need to be able to keep that to be able to continue to do that. So it really kind of depends on what is decided today.
I'm looking at the application. It says that you're planning on selling it. I want to know where that money will go when you sell it.
It would go back to funding whatever loan amount.
Okay. And that's why it's important for us to know, know the value of that land.
Yeah, I appreciate the question.
And I would say
that,
it's not just for that. I mean, again, it could be services. It could help fund a therapist position for, 4 or 5 years. I mean, there's many. Again, as we look at this, we can't look at this as just Sevier County. If we could sell there, maybe that helps us with something in Delta. That facility is even... has its own set of problems, but our clientele, our volume in Delta isn't what it is in Sevier County. So we're trying to help the majority of people, the most people we can with our projects. And
understood.
So it could go help fund another project somewhere else.
Okay. Now the other two questions are maybe they've been answered somehow in the application, but it's not clear to me. One is the applicant is the MBA.
Correct.
Who is are you on the MBA board?
We are not.
So I'm a little confused on who should be asking for the money and who we should be working with on this. Understanding you're the recipient of the product. I did not think of this yesterday when Commissioner Bushman called me. It occurred today. I'm a little bit uncomfortable understanding how this is going to work and would like to understand better your relationship with the MBA where they're not here present as the applicant.
So I sit on that MBA.
Okay, so are you recusing yourself? How are we working that out? Not that I'm suggesting you should recuse, but I think that's a very important disclosure that we all face at different times.
No, absolutely on Mark. And, the question is that the county, Sevier County, will be on the hook for repayment if, mental health funding doesn't cover it. And so, it's a good question. And, Tudor, it's certainly your discretion. The law was changed, and we changed our practice on recusing several years ago. So
right, and I'm not pressing.
That's your discretion. But you could probably enlighten us on some of these issues.
Well, it's kind of a unique situation here. They can't come and apply for the money. It has to be through an MBA or a county. Of course, the MBA is the instrument that they're going to use. And, yes, that puts Sevier County on the hook for this. We've had that discussion with our clerk auditor. We have other buildings in our community or in Sevier County that we have also own. We have an agreement with Monroe City as well as the county. When that payment is finished and completed, that building will be turned over to Monroe City. At the end of this thing, I'm not for sure how this is all going to work out as of yet, but I'm sure there's some details that would have to be worked out at the end of this this loan for this facility. But they have the money to be able to pay the loan to the MBA or back to CIB, and we feel comfortable working with the Central Mental Health. We've worked with them for many, many years, and I think that what they're asking for, obviously the tool, I think, is not including everybody that's involved in this region. This is one of those situations where this is a regional thing. It's not just Sevier County. And so I think we need to be looking at that from that perspective. It's servicing the six-county area. And the building, that the map that they have of the building that they're in right now, it used to be an old bank prior to 1976. And they've modified that two or three times. There's no parking. There's no elevators. It's very, very inefficient for what they're doing. And they obviously are going to try to sell that facility. We don't know. It would probably be better off if it was bulldozed and started over for somebody else to try to put a building there, because the building that's there has been makeshift and added on to several times. Maybe that's maybe even more than that. But they did come with a request many years, 2015 or 2015, and come before the board to try to get a 16-bed facility. They knew they were going to need that eventually. And obviously they filled that 8-bed facility and now looking for another 8-bed facility to go with that. As we all know, in all of our communities, we're going to continue to have more mental health problems, more of these concerns and issues in all of our communities, and it's an ongoing struggle. Each one of us in this, as commissioners, we never get the money from the state. The state gives it to the central mental health or your mental health. As you know, we then have to come up with a 20% match every time they do that. So that is always an ongoing struggle for all of us to continue to try to make that happen. So that's kind of my pitch. If there's other discussions.
I appreciate that. I think you make a very compelling case. Just a second. A couple things I want to look at. Referring back to the tool, the minimum loan amount is approximately $2 million, which would leave $1.5 million as grant. That's the minimum our tool is suggesting that we should offer. Now, the way the process should work is the board takes that into consideration, makes a motion to fund this at a certain amount, loan grant ratio, interest rate, etc. That goes on the priority list for our funding meeting in October. Now, in the interim, if that loan grant ratio and interest rate repayment does not work for the applicant, then they can address that to the board via staff, and that comes forward at the funding meeting with all of the other applicants, and that way there's some parity and equity in how projects are funded. Disappointingly, sometimes we get away from that with suspend and fund and again trying to negotiate in this meeting rather than the funding meeting, et cetera. So Just want to be clear about that with the board. The question I have for you is, a few months ago we approved a significant amount of money for a new Association of Governments building that is located in Sevier County, I believe. And back in the 70s, when the AOGs were green, it's my understanding that your organization was a part of that or was housed with the AOG. I just wondered if there had been any consideration about having a joint facility again, and I don't know how far along the AOG is in their building and design and all that, or if that's even feasible. But again, for our organization to fund two multi-million dollar buildings, spend $20 million, and I don't know how many cats that is, Bruce, but a lot of money. I mean, I'm wondering if anyone at the county and these organizations are looking at that type of cohabitation or those type of things. Just a question.
You're correct. When I started, when you say we were associated with the Association of Governments, they were actually they ran our payroll, they ran our HR program and all that. And we have since separated from them. But that, that was from 1999 to probably 2008. It was that agreement. And obviously, you mentioned that going from the 70s. But, there was still that little bit of a remainder where they did some things. We contracted with them to do those, is what that was. And I think your question is a great one. Since we've already bought the property and we're basically coming to you with simply facility needs, I think if we were to work with the AOG and try to cohabitate, I think they built the size that they need. We would need a corresponding size for what we need, and that dollar amount really wouldn't change on what we need to construct, even if it was next door or adjacent or attached to the AOG building. The square footage is still the square footage that we need, and we own the property. So I honestly don't think that changes. Our ask wouldn't change at all with this.
I appreciate you answering that. Any other questions on the board or a motion? Mr. Galecki.
So I'm from rural Utah. I understand mental health needs very, very closely. What I struggle with the application is I don't have a good sense of affordability, trying to use a tool and such. As Mr. Heaton had pointed out, we recently just, did a big, another big facility for Six County. Have you looked at repurposing? It seems like now so many state facilities and such are downsizing and such. Have you looked at repurposing other things in Richfield?
Yes, we have. And the buildings that, or the houses that we have acquired just over the last year or so are even in worse condition than our current outpatient office. We have considered being able to repurpose those. We are using most of those homes currently for staff right now. But as Richard talked about earlier, it is a safety concern. Oftentimes there is one staff member in the building with the client, isolated various entrances. With the homes, the entrances are on the road, whereas the parking lot is behind the homes itself, and so it becomes difficult to be able to enter and for the safety concerns.
And again, as far as funding and not really understanding what your budget is and such, I'll make a motion if that's okay.
That would be in order.
Okay. Keeping in mind the, like Chairman Eaton said, is that you can always come back. The status of the fund, not really knowing how how it works with the MBA, my proposal and using the tool is that we do a 60% loan, adding your $100,000, which would be $2,172,000, deferred for 3 years, and at 1% for 30 years. That's what my
Motion from Mr. Galecki, a 60-40 split, 3-year deferral, 1% interest, 30-year term.
And keep in mind, they're keeping their $100,000.
Keeping their cash. Well, for the next 3 years, that's a great deal. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hansen. We have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. Commissioner Ogden?
I want to make an amended motion.
You want to substitute the motion?
Yeah, I want to substitute that motion. I'd like to just reverse that.
40-60?
Yes.
Deferral?
Yes.
3-year deferral, 1% interest?
Yeah.
30-year term? Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a motion for Commissioner Ogden that's in order. Is there a second to the substitute?
I'll second.
Commissioner Taylor seconds that. Discussion on the substitute motion?
Question.
Mr. Zanotti?
So who contributes that $100,000 cash? Now we have several different communities involved, different counties. Who are the contributors of the $100 in cash?
It is Central Utah Counseling Center, so it would be our local mental health authority, us.
Okay.
Yes.
Next question that I'm sorry to just go deep in the motion, but you talked about your area is the highest rate in the suicide.
One of the highest rates, yes. Yes.
So what you've done to preemptively prevent some of these suicides, any kind of system in place rather than just adding the beds and facilities? Or?
Absolutely. A couple years ago, we implemented what's known as the CSSRS, the Columbia Suicide Severity Rating Scale. Okay. Close to 99% of all of our clients coming in are assessed for suicide when they come in. Our prevention efforts continue throughout the six-county area. Our prevention staff works closely with the health department, being able to do outreach. We just implemented a new mobile crisis outreach team. We received a grant from the state, or ongoing funding from the state of $500,000. We are supplementing that $200,000 annually, being able to fund that. What a mobile crisis outreach team does is they will respond to the emergency, much like an emergency medical technician, an EMT, or a paramedic. They go to the scene of the problem, the accident. The mobile crisis team acts similarly. They outreach to those communities. So when someone calls a crisis line saying that they are suicidal, that mobile outreach team can and will respond to those emergencies.
To the home, to wherever
yes,
they need
yeah,
to.
Wherever that emergency is taking place. And so those are some things that we have put in place as a result of that. Commissioner Bushman talked about, that we've spent over $1 million this year in inpatient care. These are individuals who are suicidal that need intense inpatient care in a hospital. And those are funds that we have spent to be able to alleviate and drive down those costs. When an individual comes out of the hospital, they're actually at increased risk of suicide, which seems counterintuitive, but they're coming back into that stressful environment that contributed to that suicidal ideation in the first place. So our policy is that within 24 to 48 hours, we are doing outreach to those individuals, making sure that they are safe and getting back into the community. We have outpatient appointments set up for them, including med management appointments, to make sure that they are still stable on their meds or if we need to do adjustments to their medications. So I really appreciate the question on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Let's go to Commissioner Lytle.
I want to be clear that I am very sensitive to the mental health needs and lack of resources. Please don't take any of this any different than that. But as we deliberate and try and figure out the best thing, what's your business model in terms of repayment through Medicaid and everything? $1 million is a lot of money. That you spend, but I'm assuming a lot of that is repaid in one form or another through Medicaid, insurance, and different things. But it does show the increase in use of the system. And so I'm curious in your business model how your revenues are doing, what your expected margin is.
So thank you for that question. So as I mentioned, when the commissioner asked about our funding streams, so we start with county dollars, we get state dollars, and then we use those to match Medicaid. We are a prepaid mental health system. So we receive that Medicaid money before we actually spend it. And then we have to provide services that really draw against that prepaid dollar amount. One of the interesting things, you've all heard about Medicaid expansion. That's a new program, you know, newly Medicaid eligible people. Additional people we're responsible to hospitalize if they need, because we've been prepaid to do that. We've been prepaid to serve every Medicaid eligible person that's in our area, whatever service they need, if it's a high-cost inpatient service or if it's a simple case management service. And so that's the funding model, is we're prepaid, we need to provide those services. One of the also the interesting thing is when I talk about the volatility of our funding, Medicaid actually can change our rates, and they can take back money from us. Medicaid expansion, we are still in the process of setting those Medicaid rates. And so there may very well may be a payback for the Medicaid expansion portion of our funding. So it's a different business model. It's a different funding stream. It's very unique from what you normally see with taxing entities and such.
Well, we're used to working with Northeast Counseling in our
Correct.
Area that seem to be functioning at a different level when it comes to buildings and their margin, as well as what they've saved for in terms of some of their project stuff. So I'm trying to learn how your system is different, recognizing that you may rely heavily on Medicaid, knowing that those folks are part of your service, but you also have other clients. That either pay up front or have insurances and everything else, and how that fits into your total model, knowing that those funds are a different color than your federal funds.
That's true. Again, unfortunately, a lot of our clients that we have don't have Medicaid and don't have insurance either, and have serious mental illness, and you know, we are the safety net and need to help them as well.
Understood. I know that you have a comment to make, but I'm curious to get the tone of the, we've gone from 60-40 to 40-60. 50-50 pops up in my head as not a game, but it would that, if the board would feel like that could be a good middle ground, pardon the pun.
Let's vote on tutors.
Let's go to Commissioner Taylor first.
Yeah, over the last couple of years, since maybe August of 19, what has been your, you talk about your clients, are you seeing an increase, decrease, is it stable? I mean,
increase, without a doubt, that there are COVID hit, and we saw an initial decrease just because everybody went home. We changed our model to doing much more telehealth at the time. There were clients that simply didn't have the capacity to be able to do that. So we had staff going out and meeting with clients in their homes, or those clients coming in particular med management. That's a service where they are might be getting a long injectable antipsychotic medication. You can't do that over telemedicine. They have to come in for that service. As COVID has lessened and now it seems to be on the uptick again, people's stress and anxiety has gone up. States of depression have increased. And so, if anything, numbers have gone up. I appreciate the question on that.
Yeah.
A call for a question on the motion.
Before we do that, the point of order, the proposal at 40-60 is outside of the range of the tool. For our procedure, we need to have an exemption. The exemption that I would recommend would be a special hardship or special consideration. What's it called, Paul?
Special circumstance.
Special circumstance or financial hardship, based on the fact that it's multi-county, severe county. MBA is shouldering the burden, and yet we know that Paiute, Wayne, and other counties in the region also using your services. So I think it would be justifiable, but that should be part of the motion, too.
Okay. I would add that to my motion. It's a special circumstance.
And is that agreeable to the second?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Okay. At that, I will call the question. All in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
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 The nays are Mr. Galecki and Mayor Baker. Any abstaining? Commissioner Lytle. So that motion carries. It will be placed on the priority list for funding consideration at our October meeting.
Okay. So. Okay. Thank you very much.
Sorry if we were long.
It's a healthy discussion.
I just like to remind the board how far it is to Monticello. We've been here for 2 hours and got one project done. It's 5 hours to travel.
So we'll invite Kusharim to come forward. And I don't know if Kusharim was present at the beginning of the meeting, but this is one of those smaller, less than $100,000 grant requests where they do have a cash match of $10,000. So this could go really quickly if the board were so inclined. So, Candace, did you have anything further to add in the briefing?
No.
I'll make a motion. We approve.
Second motion.
So approve as presented a $63,624 grant. Motion by Commissioner Adams. Second by Mr. Zanotti. Question the motion. Mr. Galecki.
Substitute motion. Substitute motion is that they keep their $75,000, bring it up to $85,000 to cover any loan. And so 100% loan. Their Magi is so low on their connections, on their bills and such. So that's my basis on it. Because, they're, again, protection of the fund. The other is that, even later on, you see projects that they're already approaching, their bills are approaching the Magi of affordability. So my motion is a $85,000 loan at 1%.
How long
can they go?
Yeah, what's the term? It's water. So.
Well, it's a SCADA meter.
Yes.
It's the equipment.
It's not the water.
No.
But the repayment source would be water rates, right? So you could go 30 years.
I'd go 20.
You go any term you want, sir.
Okay, 20 years.
20 years. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
Dean Baker seconds that motion. Any discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, didn't we discuss that it's going to be expensive to have less than $100,000
yes.
loans, so we have to consider those associated expenses for less than $100,000?
I think he did because the original request was 63.
Yeah.
He's telling them to keep their cash, and we'll loan them 85, okay. Which should cover. We're paying for some water meters and some bunch of attorneys. So. Okay. Any more questions on the motion? Okay, we'll put that to a vote. All in favor of the substitute motion, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Okay. So, Pam, we're going to have to do a hand thing. So, again, those in favor, please raise your hand. So, Greg, Baker, Oaks, Hanson. Those opposed?
I'm sorry.
Okay,
we need to do it in order.
Okay.
It's just easier.
All right, we'll just let you do it then.
Thank you. I appreciate
your
that.
Stress.
Thank you. Treasurer Oaks?
Yes.
Mr. Galecki?
Aye.
Commissioner Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Lytle?
Nay.
Mayor Baker?
Yay.
Commissioner Stevens is absent. Commissioner Taylor?
Nay.
Commissioner Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
No.
And Mr. Zanotti?
Nay.
Should be 5-4.
Chairman Heaton?
Is it tied?
We're at a tie. No. Well, actually, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mine was a nay.
I thought it was 5-4.
Mine was a nay. I was not for it.
Okay.
The substitute.
There are 4 votes in the affirmative,
right.
And 5 votes in the
And you know who they are.
Disapproval, yes.
Great. So we go back to the original motion. Questions on the original motion? Seeing none, we'll put it to a vote, which is a full grant as requested at $63,624. Okay.
Treasure
Pam
Oaks.
Pam will let you do your roll.
Thanks.
Sorry. Sorry.
Treasure Oaks.
Yes.
Mr. Galecki.
No.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
No.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
And Mr. Zanotti.
Aye. So that motion carries. Thank you. I know you've come a long way. I've been to Kusheram many a time, beautiful little town, but like so many of our small towns, we know times are always tough. So appreciate you making the long journey and respecting our time. I hope we've respected yours.
Thanks, Chairman.
This will be put on the funding list for October.
Sorry about the conundrum, but very good. Thank you.
No, that was a good, healthy vote and discussion, and I appreciate it very much. I think that's how things should work. So, like Bruce, I can only sit so long without taking a break, so take a 10-minute break.
Really.
Well, unless he's sitting on a horse, then he's good all day for some reason.
Yeah, 8 hours on the horse is
good. Okay. Next on our agenda is item 4.3, Centerfield City water rights purchase. As they're coming forward, Candace, will you brief us on the project, please?
Number three on the agenda today, yes, we're only on number three, is Centerfield City water rights purchase. Their request to CIB is $921,000, of which their request is a $230,000 loan, 30 years at 1%. And a $691,000 grant. The median range is a $410,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, and a $511,000 grant. The project total is $921,000. This is to purchase 130 acre-feet of water rights at approximately $7,000 an acre per acre-foot. To protect an existing spring and well meter well water and meet current and future water demands. Future water demands is the key here. The request was changed August 2nd, 2021, and to take applicant cash out of it. So now they're requesting a loan from CIB in the amount of their applicant cash. Are the water rights, the questions I would have are the water rights still being held for you? Because it says that the water rights owner is holding the water rights and waiting for a response. If so, for how long will the water rights be held for Centerfield City? Is this for new homes and subdivisions, because CIB's funding must be for the applicant. Centerfield City must be for the benefit of Centerfield City, not a developer. And the Division of Water, Drinking Water, do they purchase water rights? Have you visited with them? I'm not sure they do, so I just want you to verify that. And the public hearing minutes did not quite indicate what the ramifications were for loans or grants, but I think that you got it said. At least the minutes didn't appear to say so. I hope the discussion was had. And with that, this is water rights. CIB has historically been able to purchase water rights. It's an eligible cost as long as Centerfield City is the owner of the rights.
Thank you, Candace. If you'll please introduce yourselves and tell us about the project, maybe answer some of those questions.
Mayor Sorensen from Centerfield.
And I'm Garrick Wilden with Jones and DeMille Engineering.
I'm sorry, what was your first name?
Garrick.
Garrick. Go ahead, Mayor Simpson.
So I just want to explain a little bit about the project. Interestingly enough, we're in a combination ownership of this spring that we have. It's unfortunately no relation to me, but it's called the Sorensen Spring. And Centerfield City owns about a 55% right in it, and then a gentleman named Russell Yardley, or 12 Mile Land and Livestock, owns about 45% of that spring. Unfortunately, with the current droughts, Mr. Yardley approached us about possibly liquidating some of his assets, meaning his right in the spring. And so this has been about a year ago. Since then, Mr. Yardley's been approached several times by several developers, and even has been offered more money than what the appraisal was on the water. Mm-hmm. However, Mr. Yardley realizes the importance of the municipality owning the complete right in the spring and not necessarily having a developer come in and buy that, which we certainly appreciate. They are, to answer some of your questions, they are currently waiting to hear from what the decision is made here with this board, whether or not we purchase that or not. Certainly the goal for Centerfield City is to tie up that entire right and make that water available to its residents. Interestingly enough, with our water right, we have exceeded at times what our right is, especially in these times of drought, and that's the reason for us coming before you. I know that in June, let's see, correct me if I'm wrong, Garrick, but June, July, and August, we exceed our right by just a little bit. I don't want to say that we exceed it by a whole lot, but we do exceed our right, which is the reason for, if we could get this additional 130-acre feet, we wouldn't ever exceed our right, and we would prepare ourselves for the future. But certainly this goes to help with the current residents that are in Centerfield.
Excellent. Appreciate that summary.
One other quick just clarification. I'm sorry to interrupt, but in the public meeting, those that were attending that public meeting, interestingly enough, everybody in the meeting was there for us purchasing the additional water shares. So we're just trying to make the best deal possible for the residents and move forward. And it was a unanimous decision. There wasn't anybody opposed to us pursuing this. So,
anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's go to the board for questions. Mayor Baker.
Question. Could you tell us what your water rates are right now that you have and how many gallons?
Yep. So currently our water rates are $30 for 4,000 gallons. And we just enacted an emergency rate. So for each additional 1,000 gallons, it's $1.40 a 1,000 gallons, up to another 10,000 gallons. And then an additional 10,000 gallons is $1.50. An additional 10,000 gallons after that is $1.60. And it goes up, it stays at $1.60 from there. We just enacted an emergency plan where it is $5 per 1,000 gallons of any overrun. So I stay in constant contact with our city maintenance man who goes up and monitors our water tank levels, and they fall into almost critical levels. So unfortunately, we've enacted this emergency plan right now, and we're in a bind.
Okay, let's go to Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayor, I hope you have, by virtue of your partnership, you have the first right of refusal to purchase this first, right? I hope you secured that right.
We did, and he's honoring that, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
And the $7,000 is a great purchase at this today's market.
It's a fantastic purchase. Yeah, it's a fantastic purchase. Thank you.
One more question before I go. In March 2021, you have been cited by the Water Department or Department of Water Quality for the not monitoring or reporting and a violation of the monitoring violation. Have you fixed that problem, reported back to them?
We had. It was a high nitrate level that was recorded, and we've since fixed that problem. And it was an error on our maintenance man's. I hate to single him out because it was a problem in the process, but we have remedied that, and the samples are being sent out currently, and we have a treatment plant there if needed, and so that's what that regarded.
So your points are back in the normal then?
We are indeed, yep.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Mr. Galecki, did you have a question?
Oh,
Yeah, so you said it was an emergency as far as your tiered billing system. Mm-hmm. Is that permanent, or is that just, short-term?
We're hoping short-term. Obviously, if we can acquire these additional water rights, we'll be in better shape. But we're like just the rest of the state of Utah, especially in the southern region, in this severe drought. I mean, those of you that live down there, we're beating the records that we set in 1977. And so, unfortunately, we're telling our residents, water your trees with culinary water, but use it sparingly. My lawn's dead, been dead. We've been out of water since July, as far as irrigation water, the 1st of July. And so, unfortunately, due to the fact that we need to be well aware of if we have a fire, it certainly is a possibility in these dry conditions, that we keep our water tanks somewhat filled. And so we enacted this emergency fund or fee schedule in order to help remedy that. And just keep your trees alive, and we'll try and get through this and pray for more rain and more snow.
So. Mayor Baker?
One more question, if I could. I did some calculations with your 500, and let's see if I got to find it again where I had it. 516 connections you've got, and I looked at loans to go into the minimum range, which would be a 314,000 loan and 423,000 grant for a 30-year Candace.
Yes.
Capable, and at a 0%. As I did the calculation, that comes out at per connection. $2.79 additional.
Right.
To do. Could you live with that? Could your customers live with something like that?
So, and I actually did some of those figures also, and I looked at that same amount as far as $2 to $3 per month on a water connection. I think that's very doable. Obviously, we're here to ask for as much grant as we can possibly get and as cheap a loan as we can possibly get. I think that's just a given with these situations. But I talked with our accountant, and, you know, he feels like I spent quite a bit of time with him yesterday talking about different ranges. I hate to shoot myself in the foot if somebody's thinking, wow, we could give these guys a little bit more grant and a little bit more loan, but he said we could probably go up to about 33% of the project, and he felt like we would still be okay. I don't know where that comes in at on your $2.
Yeah, I just wrote down what the minimum was. I don't have. Maybe Candace could look at. Is it right
You've
there?
Got it up there. Okay.
30% is 3% loan. Yeah, right in that range.
Yeah, which would be, let's see if I did my math right, about $303,930 as far as a... As far as a loan would be. And if you would offer a 0%, that would be fantastic. We're prepared. We're prepared to do 1%, but we'd love zero.
Yeah, and if we go zero, it comes out of mineral leasing rather than the bonus, which is...
If we go left at the zero.
Yeah.
So if we do a half, we could do the...
Can come out of our bonus.
I don't know if you're ready for a motion or not, Chairman, but
I think we are ready for a motion. Again, the minimum per the tool was 314 on the loan.
Yeah.
And so if we go lower than 314, then we'd have to have a special consideration.
No, I'm with the 314. That was the $2.80. It will increase it a little bit going to the 0.5%. I propose a 0.5% instead of zero.
Second the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Mayor Baker, let me make sure I've got your motion. You're at a loan of $314,000, 0.5% for 30 years?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And the balance in grant will be
$423,000.
And there's a second by Mr. Zanotti.
Still.
Okay. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? That carries unanimously, Pam. Check all the boxes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That will be on the priority list for funding consideration in October.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Appreciate
that.
I appreciate you going after that water, Mayor.
Yeah.
That old bike.
Critical to secure.
You're doing a good job. Buy every drum you can.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
OK.
Okay. We'll invite Emery County, a local building authority, to come forward. And Candace, if you'll brief us on this project, it shouldn't take long.
We have two vehicles. Number four on the agenda today is from Emery County Local Building Authority. This is to purchase two ambulances. Their request is a $200,000 grant. The median funding range in the tool is $100,000 loan and $100,000 grant. The applicant has $200,000 in cash they're putting towards this project. The project total is $400,000. This is to buy two ambulances. Emery County does not have a hospital, so they ferry these the patients to two small clinics in Castledale and Green River. That covers, these ambulance covers cover about 4,472 square miles. This is, and a 90-mile section of I-70. The fleet is aging. They're between 2004 and 2018. This will replace the two oldest ambulances. And with that, turn it over to the board.
Commissioner Wilson, good to have you with us. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Just Emery County is a big county, and we have five garages that we have to staff and provide ambulances for, and it's a challenge for us. We've created a special service district to where we can fund it through mineral lease monies. And the reason for that is in the past 30 years, we've relied upon the profits of our ambulance service and paying our EMTs a lower wage to finance all of our EMTs. And we're finding in Green River especially that that model is broken and we've had to change. And there's just a lot more risk for us going forward.
Question, Commissioner, how close to San Juan County is Green River?
Right next door.
Well, what I was thinking is when you're ready for phase two, we are interested.
You want cats?
I'm the cat action.
I wanted to bring up the jail building that we have in Daggett County.
We'll throw it all
out. Will that hold cats?
Thank you, Commissioner Wilson. I saw a number of hands go up. We'll start with Commissioner Adams.
Well, they're bringing $200,000 to the table. In the past, we've been willing, if they put up $200,000, we give them a grant for $200,000. We tell them to keep the cash and give them a loan. That's going to cost them an extra $10,000 for closing. I just don't think that's the right thing to do. So I'd make a motion we approve the request.
I'll second it.
Wow, that was a lot going on. You guys are quick. So,
substitute motion.
As submitted. Wow, hold on a second, Mr. Galecki. This is a speed pitch, and I am not that speedy. You're out of order, Commissioner. We'll not call a question until I understand what the question is. Commissioner Adams made a motion to approve as requested for a $200,000 grant due to the matching cash. That was seconded by Commissioner Taylor gets the second. Okay. And then I heard something from the other side of the room, Mr. Galecki's direction, about a substitute to that motion. So that would
you
be in order.
You look over there when I sat over there.
I didn't look. I heard.
He still doesn't look over.
Yeah, I know.
I don't. It's on the left.
Are you ready
for substitute? I'm ready for your substitute.
$110,000 loan at 1% for 10 years, which would cover the additional
funding cost, yeah.
Cost and a $100,000 grant.
What does that look like?
Can you put that up on the board for us, Paul? For Brenda?
About 110.
It was 100?
110.
Yeah. Question, Chairman. A question on the motion. Could I? Just a question.
We don't have a second yet.
No, but I got a question. Just maybe help me on
okay, let me see if I can get a second, and then we'll go.
Okay.
Would you like to second it?
I want to question it first.
Okay. So let's see if anyone else is willing to second it. And so we've got a $110,000 loan, 1% for 10 years, and a $100,000 grant. Hopefully that's showing behind me now. I can't, don't have eyes in the back of my head. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Thank you, Treasurer Oakes. Now we'll go to questions. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor Baker, for your patience. And
nope, that's more. I noticed that you've got a CIB loan that's going to be paid off in 22. Their last two payments, of, I don't know if they've made the one yet or not, but $150,000 each. I was wondering if we could defer. That's what I was trying to get to. And start the loan after those two are paid off on the...
I think it's technically possible, Greg, but our fund manager, who has eons of experience in these things, would like to answer that question.
Being eons old, I do. Since it's a 10-year loan and you defer it, it gets deferred for 2 years and you have to pay it off in 8.
That's right.
So that increases the payment. Also, what is the revenue source that you would use to repay this loan?
Well, my preference is I have $200,000 sitting in the bank that I would like to just do my share with right now. So the $200,000 I have in the bank is what I would make payments on, probably on the first day that I had to execute it. So to me, we're just you're going to make me spend $10,000 for a one-day loan.
Yeah. Wait, but that's not clear to me, because you're putting $200,000 in cash. We're just covering the $200,000 on our side. So okay. You'd still need that cash to put towards this car.
Right.
These two ambulances.
I misunderstood the motion then.
It's a 110 and a 100 grant. 110.
So you want me to provide my $200,000 in cash, and you would do a grant and a loan. I've got a special service district that we set up that there would be mineral lease monies coming in the future.
Okay. So if you're pledging mineral lease, the 10-year loan is because of the life of the vehicles. You know, we might like to go about 10 years for any vehicles unless it's heavy equipment. A 15-year loan could be accommodated with mineral lease funds, but that's the maximum term, which would lower the payment.
And we'd be willing to do that even on an ambulance?
Well, I guess what I was trying to say, they've got a loan coming up that's going to, in 22, be paid off.
But what is the loan for?
I don't know. It says it's a public safety building, but it's going to be paid off. We deferred.
Maybe.
They could take what they were paying, this $150,000.
If it's the same revenue source, they could.
Okay.
Maybe a point of clarification. We created the special service district and tried to go through the process of doing an application through that special service district. But because it's been created in the last year, I cannot get a DUNS number until I get some history on this special service district. So we applied through Emory County. So the special service district will repay Emory County for anything that we negotiate out today.
That's doable. Who will own the ambulances? Because CIB has to fund public projects.
Depends on what you require me. The $200,000 is going to come from the special service district. But it's going through our LBA. And
okay.
So if you require the LBA owns the buggy, we'll do it that way.
Yeah, they would have to. Until the loan's paid off, and then you'd have to get fair market value for the special service district to own them.
That's correct.
So the LBA will own the ambulances if they're the loan takers.
Once the loan's paid off,
they can transfer. You have to get fair market value for anything that CIB funds. So they'd have to rebuy it.
So lots of good discussion there. So that is the substitute motion, which is a loan grant mix. Let's call the question.
Comment, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, there's more questions?
Comment.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Zanotti.
In support of Commissioner Adams' motion.
Well, that's the original motion. We're talking about the second motion.
Go ahead.
Okay.
They can still haul chickens, though.
So, Pam, because there's a substitute here, I feel there may be some split votes, so we'll let you do your roll call thing so I don't mess you up.
Okay. Treasurer Oakes.
The substitute motion.
This is the substitute motion?
Oh,
110 loan.
Yes.
Mr. Galecki?
Aye.
Commissioner Ogden?
Nay.
Commissioner Lytle?
Good heavens.
Time's up.
I heard nay.
Buzzer,
yeah. Nay. That was a buzzer.
I think it was supposed to be a buzzer. I don't
it was a buzzer.
It was.
Mayor Baker?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
No.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
No.
And Mr. Zanotti?
Nay.
5-4. Doesn't carry. Does not carry.
So, let's go back to the original motion, which was as requested with a grant with the matching cash.
Just a comment.
We have a please. Comment from Mr. Zanotti.
Just following up the motion, they have plenty of skins in the game, pun intended. And it is a supportive, it's a good emergency. And I like the idea that the commissioner, you wanted to have a buy one, get one free, so this is the time to do it.
I agree.
I just have one question. I might amend my motion. Do you need to suspend and fund this?
No. Okay. We can go through the normal process.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Wilson. Okay. It is outside the range of the tool. So we do need to know what the exemption is.
The fact that they're carrying the several of those locations and the long distance, Mr. Chairman.
So special circumstances.
Circumstances, yeah.
Of the available or appropriate special circumstances, I don't know where it fits in, but the fact that they're half and half, in essence, of what their skin in the game.
The tool takes that into consideration.
Okay.
Yeah, but the long distance they travel.
Does it
so special circumstance
them?
Based special on the geography?
Yeah, geography, yeah. Yeah.
The review sheet.
Is that agreeable, Ms.?
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I thought I heard you say that. And Commissioner Taylor, were you the second on that?
Yes.
Yes. And you agree. Okay. So, all, Pam, we better keep things orderly and do the roll call on it.
Thank you. Treasurer Oaks?
Yes.
Mr. Galecki?
Nay.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Should carry.
Six aye, yeah, six approve. The vote carries with six approvals. Or
For those of you who don't know, Commissioner Wilson's father, Bevan, served on this board for many years and in my earlier days and was highly esteemed, and I think his spirit is here with us today,
yes.
And appreciate that. So and
he was a great cat skinner, I heard.
I will take those comments back to him, and it'll make him a happy man.
So thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much.
Okay, next up is Project 4.5, Count of Big Water. Again, this is an under $100,000 grant request with a cash match of 30%. They've got $20,000 of cash for the $60,000 grant request. Candace, will you do a quick briefing for us?
This is number five is from the Town of Big Water. It's for a new marshal vehicle.
Which is the police vehicle, correct?
Sheriff, police. Okay. You know, they're, you know, call it a marshal. I saw those movies. Their request is $60,000 in grant funding. The tool, of course, the reason that the amount is in black rather than red or purple or green is because this is under the threshold of a viable loan. They do have applicant cash. Applicant cash is $20,000. So their request is $60,000. In the public hearing, they came in as number five for the Marshall vehicle. Is that on the CIB application list?
Yes.
Behind the golf course?
Yes.
Golfing's more important than taking
law and order.
Law enforcement.
Well, there may be more use for the marshal vehicle if there's a golf course. So anyway, what are you doing with the old vehicle? Are you, you're keeping it?
They're keeping it as a backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, keeping it as a backup.
All right. Is there a savings account for maintenance of this, and is there a replacement fund being established? And that.
Thank you, Candace. So if you'll just please introduce yourselves, and if you'd like to add anything else, we won't deter you, but we could just go to the board for questions, and that may be easier. So if you'll introduce yourselves, that would be great.
I'm Amber Banfield. I'm the Big Water Clerk.
Russ Johnson, Big Water Marshal.
Oh, so it's your car.
Holy
Yes, sir.
All right. So, with that, any questions from the board?
Mr. Chairman, I'm ready to make a motion with the comment.
We would love to hear that, Mr. Zanotti.
I have a mixed feeling about this particular item. If they keep the sedan, they were chasing me with that. That was really easy to run away for that. But the new vehicle is going to be the Marshall. I can see that he is just too... that's not mean looking, but he's too big for that purpose. So I will say, let's accept as they have requested. They have the cash.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. That motion's in order. Is there a second?
Second.
I see Commissioner Ogden. You were louder, but he was, you know, on my left.
I'm a little quieter.
They're right next to San Juan County.
Okay, give it to me.
Boy, are they ever.
I think they have actually traveled farther than I did.
Yes, they did. Here.
So, yes, you're right. It's hard to travel any further than that. No. Would you like an answer to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you ever have to respond to Amangiri?
I do.
Every night.
Thank you.
Is there more
I'm
questions?
Sorry. No, okay. I just wondered. I thought that, I mean, at one time they were part of the jurisdiction, but now they have their own.
Just outside of our jurisdiction, but I'm the closest officer, so a lot of times I find myself responding just to help the sheriff's office out.
I just have a comment. I'm all in favor of this, of course, but did you look at trying to get some funding from the USDA grant money when you was looking at trying to get vehicles?
We did not.
Okay. That's just another option for you sometime down the...
We did apply for another loan. It was the SAGF, maybe?
Yeah, SAFG, I think.
Oh. Just something to consider.
Appreciate that, Commissioner Ogden. Commissioner Lytle, you have a comment?
Yeah, I know with like our sheriff's department right now, they're using a lease program that works well for them and seems to reduce costs. It does have an upfront usually. Wondered if that had been part of your consideration.
I've considered it. I don't really have a lot of upfront money.
Seeing no more questions, we'll take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, that carries unanimously. Thank you for keeping things safe in Big Water and beyond.
Just remember this face.
We'll send you a group picture with license plate numbers later.
I just want to know if they're going back home by way of Monticello. I'll get right behind them and
escort all the way home, huh?
I think it can hold a pet cage in the back. You can haul some
as
cats
a state
back.
Peace officer.
Not taking cats home today.
As a state peace officer, I'm well aware of the evidence that these people are providing you in the event you do stop. Please know that I understand your predicament.
No predicaments here. It's all in jest. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you. It'll be under consideration in October for full funding.
Thank you.
Pam, did you get everything okay?
I did.
Great.
It was all in jest.
Yes, very much so. Okay, next up is Kane County, project number 4.6. And while they're coming forward, we'll turn time over to Candace and her team for the briefing. They're doing their Wizard of Oz stuff.
Number six on the agenda today is from Kane County Municipal Building Authority. They know their way here.
The administration building and Canab Center renovations are what this project consists of. And the CIB has funded the first tranche, and when the CIB funded it, they said, let's just do part of it. And so they're back with the next part for this project, which is at the Canab Center. It's for an administration building and Canab Center renovations. You can read what it is. It's for all the components to do Building B, which is roof, insulation, drywall, you know, get it up to speed to work and to facilitate, I think, as a gym. Or wait. You'll get your turn. In the public hearing, it does say that the renovation of the Canab Center Building B gymnasium area and stage area with the roof that needs to be redone, the isolation, breakout areas, and restrooms, I think it's to make it as kind of more of a community center. What I have since learned what the Wave Lottery is. They do accommodate the Wave Lottery, and if you know what that is, that's that just passes to go out into the desert and do other hot things. But this renovation will accommodate us for years in the future, it says in the public hearing minutes. It says that if it goes over the limited amount of funds, the county will contribute, or they will look at scaling back, or possibly approaching CIB again if necessary. Stop that.
We won't.
Anyway, that's what it says in the public hearing minutes. It's a good project, and we will eventually, as a board, get down there to see it. But with that, I will turn the time over to the commissioner.
Welcome, Commissioner Chamberlain. If you'll introduce yourself again for the record and tell us a little bit about the project.
Thank you. Commissioner Chamberlain, I'm the chairman of the MBA, which would be the owner of this this project, basically the work that's going on here. Just a couple of comments and then whatever questions you may have. The building that you're looking at in the picture was, the outside was renovated with the original, you know, previous process, you know, that you guys provided funding for, but not the interior. That building was constructed in 1954, which is older than almost all of you here. And and it still has the same AC and or lack of AC and heating. You know, it's the old propane heaters on hanging on the walls there, and we had to take out the asbestos insulation, and so it's costing a fortune to maintain for a facility that is used multiple times a day by multiple groups. The other part, and I don't know if they scroll down, if you got to, you had pictures there of the administration building. And the courthouse, that's the administration building. That was constructed in 1980, still has the same AC, which now has Freon in it. That's no, I mean, it's been usually operating on Freon that you cannot replace. It'll manufacture it. The commission chambers, what we intend to do, those are that's an example of the AC unit for the administration building, one of two that have to be replaced, the HVAC unit. And then the commission chambers themselves, if we get to the picture on that, that's the building. What we would do is extend that wall out. That would be to the west by about 15 feet along the face that you see there. And if you go on down just a little further, you'll see the primary reason for that. That's a look inside our commission chambers. And I can tell you that if there's any subject on the commission agenda that has any interest to the public, that is way too small. There's a single means of access. The IT is about 1980s vintage, and so, you know, we're in bad need of upgrading that. With the COVID, you know, we can fit about 20 people in there or so without social distancing, and then but with social distancing, of course, it's virtually useless. But anyway, so we need to recreate that room to allow to accommodate the commission activities that go forward. The county's just outgrown that, and update the HVAC system and the restrooms.
Thank you. Questions for the board? Commissioner Adams, I guess we'll go to you.
No.
No one else.
I was recently at a training for another board that I sit on. We met in Canab for 3 or 4 days. And so Brett give me a nice tour of the facility and the new parts and the old parts. And when he says that this thing was built in the 1950s.
54.
Yeah. I was born in 49, so I felt akin to the building when I was walking through it. But they certainly, this isn't a want. This is a need. When you're in Kanab in the heat of the summer and you don't have a good HVAC system, might as well not be there. I mean, it's just too hot to do anything. So I can only imagine what the residents have to deal with in this old part of this building that doesn't have any air conditioning and so forth. And I applaud them for not just tearing the building down and coming in and asking for millions of dollars for a brand new building. I think they've been real judicious on trying to make the best out of a bad situation. That's certainly what they're trying to do. And so I think we as a board, and I just, I guess I don't understand the numbers enough, but I would like to see, Paul, what the least amount of loan we can give them that fits in the model, and then see what, after we look at the minimum amount of loan, how much that will leave in grant. That's it?
Yeah.
The minimum loan is 1.9 and grant is 2.64?
Or 2.64.
Yeah, we can work with that. It's not our intent to put the fund in jeopardy by asking for more grant than you can, than you can do. So we'll make that work.
And a 0.5% interest? Do you want to go to 0.0001?
Yeah, I prefer 0.0001, but
Mayor Baker doesn't.
And if you throw in a couple of cats, then it.
We'll throw you in some cat training.
We can franchise the cat.
I just got to say, I was really excited about this for Kane County for a net revenue source, but I am going to have a visit with Best Friends first. They may not have a, they may have a thought or two on that.
Would they partner?
Maybe not.
Well,
it's somewhat contrary to their save them all model,
Keith, if you're ready, I'd make that.
I would like to hear your motion, Commissioner.
I would make that motion. Okay, I'm trying to see it. 1.936 million dollar loan at 0.5% interest, or
30 years
long. I'll be long gone by then. Grant of $264,000. That's my motion.
I'll second it.
We have a motion from Commissioner Adams. We have a second from Mr. Zanotti. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed or abstaining? That carries unanimously. Thank you, Commissioner.
Greg, are you awake over there?
I wasn't here to fight for another half of the day.
I got one question. Commissioner, what, going down through that, I need a little more clarification about the lottery.
The wave lottery. So let me explain.
It was in the notes, and I was reading through that, and I had that in my notes. What is the wave lottery?
So the wave is a geologic feature out there that has been described. I actually think it's more well known in Europe and Japan than it is by U.S. citizens. It is the premier hike if you're a Japanese or a French, maybe even German, in the world. But it's a lottery. They used to give out 20 permits a day. Now it's up to as many as 64, online and walk-in. The walk-in consists of your having to be in Kanab the day before at 9 a.m. and having submitted an application for one of, right now it's 16 slots. And then there's a lottery that goes on there. This is the only facility and the only public facility in Kanab that can accommodate the numbers. We get up to 400 people attending this thing, and so it's a public facility that will do this. King County actually conducts it. We're doing using King County staff to do it as well. It's a great, you know, I got to tell you, if you're in a relying on tourism, and I know you guys don't fund tourism, and that's not the primary purpose of this building by any means, but if you're in a tourism business and you have to have up to 400 people has to be in your town the day before they're going to do something, that's a no-brainer. So, and by the way, the wave is very cool. I've been there several hundred times as a safety patrol.
It's a spectacular place.
And nobody's died on my watch. So.
Can we get the big water marshal to escort us?
He can't get a permit, but I can.
I see a partnership brewing here.
Yeah, this could be good. We could do lots of things together.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. Really
this
appreciate
this. This will
be
put on the priority list for funding in October.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Next up, we'd invite Iron County to come forward. New fire station. Candace, would you please brief us?
Number 7 on the today is for Iron County with a new fire station at Newcastle. Their request is a $400,000 grant. The median funding range is $318,000 loan, 30-year at 2.5%. An $82,000 grant. They do have applicant cash, and they also have CDBG funding of $200,000. This project will be to construct a 100-foot by 50-foot, 2,500-square-foot metal building with two truck bays. So it's a fire station. I don't believe there's a fire station in existence in Newcastle at this time. The public hearing said that referred to CDBG funding. They also said that they would consider a loan. The location was discussed. Has the location been established is one question. The price has increased. So my question for the board to ask is, when was the estimate for this project, and will this be sufficient funding? And with that, I will turn it over to the board.
Thank you, Candace. If you'll introduce yourself.
I'm Paul Cousins, Iron County Commissioner. And Candace, there's a misprint. It's actually, so 100 by 50 is the 5,000 square foot building instead of 2,500. That was a misprint there. And yes, it is next to a current fire station. I think it's 2,700 square feet. It's got two bays, but there and a little bit of storage. The need we have in Newcastle's 30 miles west of Cedar City in a rural part of southwest Iron County. We've got a chief there in Newcastle. He's approaching retirement age. As everybody knows, in these rural areas, it's hard to find volunteers. They're really struggling. I know that I've heard Commissioner Bushman talk about it. I know we all in rural Utah struggle with new volunteerism. And this is a facility that's needed. There is the existing fire station, but we want to add it next to it. So we do own the property. The challenge they're having right now is in the wintertime, they have a 4,000-gallon water tender that they need to take out on fires and also a brush truck. And they have to drain those in the wintertime and store them in Bob Holt's potato barn. He graciously lets them store there, but it's not conducive to fight a fire when you come and you have to fill them with water. So that's the real need we have. It also has meeting rooms, office, a gathering area for training, a kitchen. It can be used as a community center as well. They don't have anything besides the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints facility that they frown on using on for some of those things. Obviously, they're gracious, but we need something for that town so it can be multiple use. A couple other points I wanted to make. So it's that little community is unincorporated. Newcastle's about 375 residents. And it's a lower income area out there. It's rural agriculture. Bob Holt, I think he's one of the biggest dairies in Utah. Yeah. And then we have a lot of geothermal out there, so they grow tomatoes and flowers and a lot of industry out in that area. And we have Burl Fire Station, and then we also have Enterprise, and those agencies work together on fires and help each other out. I'm kind of new to this process, and I'm kind of pinch hitting for Mr. Reed Erickson, our planner, who put this application together, and I am quite familiar with it, but if I can't answer all the questions, I hope that I can phone a friend real quick. But anyway, So any questions you might have, I don't know if there's anything I should bring up. We service Old Irontown, Burl, those areas as well. So any questions you might have?
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate you being here with us. Mm-hmm. Candace, how does this affect PILT?
Yeah, this is to Iron County. Iron County is the applicant. They've requested all grant. If they are granted to Iron County this amount, it will affect PILT dollar for dollar because this is the same revenue source that funds PILT.
What if we gave them a 0% loan?
No.
No effect?
We're asking if we could to go from the 82,300,000 loan, if we could do a 50-50. We're bringing 100,000 of Iron County money, 200,000 CDBG, and wondering if you'd do a $200,000 grant with the other 200 as a loan.
That's what they're telling you, Paul, and the way you get around it, okay, as a county, uh-huh, is you put this through your MBA.
Yep.
You put it through your MBA, it won't affect, it won't affect your PILT payment.
Okay.
If you don't, then this is going to be deducted from the county's PILT payment.
I see.
So you can do that building through the county's MBA.
If you have one.
And I think you do.
They do.
From past years, yeah. I think.
I can call Reed real quick if we can get him on.
Commissioner Cousins, that's how we did the Burl one. It's through the
MBA. Yes. Yeah, you have an MBA, yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. So whatever we do, we need to make this contingent on them
MBA
putting the money through their MBA.
Right. Any questions, Mr. Galecki?
It's not a question. I was just going to make a motion.
Okay. Any questions before the motion?
Yes, I have questions.
We'll go to Mr. Zanotti, and then we'll go back to you.
First of all, Commissioner, what is the status of the cash of 100,000 and 200,000 grants? Have you secured those?
Yes.
They're already in place.
Yes.
Okay. You had a better chance of getting the Bob Holt and Kerry Holt to give you the money than coming before CIB. Well, of course, they will charge you 10% for it. But that location the Commissioner is referring to is really an isolated location. It is just easy. Either you have to come from Cedar City for that many miles or from St. George, and the closest town is the Enterprise. They don't have that much facilities to help either. So Commissioner is right. We need to have an immediate access for storing those water during the winter time and give them the help. So it is a worthy project.
Thank you. Let's go to you, Mr. Galecki.
Okay. My motion is for him to keep his $100,000 for use of the tool at 80%, I'm going to say a $395,000 loan at 1% for 30 years.
8% of 500. Okay. Motion from Mr. Galecki for a $395,000 loan for 30 years at 1%. And what was the grant amount on that, Greg? Just the balance?
Just the balance.
Okay.
Is it up there?
It would be
205. 205 would be the grant?
Their cash, because there's
because we're offsetting the cash?
CDBG.
Okay, so a $205,000 grant. You keep your cash until you have to pay back the loan. Okay. Is there a second to that motion? Mayor Baker seconds
that
motion. Any discussion on the motion?
Yeah, I don't want you to ever let Baker and Galecki sit together again. Put me in between them.
That's a different motion.
Okay.
But duly noted.
I got one last meeting.
Substitution, Mr. Chairman.
We have a substitution proposed, Mr. Zanotti.
50-50, 1%, 30 years.
Second.
What interest rate?
50-50, 1%.
1% is outside the range.
1.5%.
It's two and a half.
No, or an exemption.
Is he within the maximums and the minimums anyway? I think we need an exemption. Yeah, we need an exemption either way.
It's an isolated community, and it places a hardship upon them if they don't get a building.
Because of the harsh winters, to lose the water commodity. Okay.
It's 50-50, so 200,000 loan, $200,000 grant.
Wait. Are they keeping their cash?
No, there's nothing to do with cash here.
No, I had cash.
No.
Yeah, you did, but that was a separate motion. He didn't say anything about cash.
50-50, 1%.
50-50 of the $400,000.
Yes.
I know. I get behind on the speedball stuff too.
So what percentage?
But I just, he said keep the cash.
I know, but he didn't. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
1%.
Yeah, 50-50, 1%, 30 years.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Zidane.
With a hardship.
That's a good motion. Is there a second to that motion?
It was already seconded.
I saw a quick draw, Tudor Ogden over here.
You seconded it 10 minutes ago.
It's okay. Whoever you want to give it to.
Yep.
Just saying.
I want you to know how it goes, but notice I've never picked him over you.
True. So I'm okay with that.
Just want you to know that. Bruce and I have history.
I'm going home.
I couldn't tell.
Well, it's obvious, I know. So, any discussion on the substitute motion?
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Well, that is a good question. And I picked chairman's preference, Peter Ogden.
I want to appeal his decision.
Please note the objection. Thank you. We'll call the question. All in favor of the substitute, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
No, Mr. Galecki is opposed. All others in favor. That motion carries for consideration on the priority list. It will be on the priority list for October funding at 50-50.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. The stipulation was the MBA.
Yes, and you'll need to change the applicant
to the MBA
for October to the Iron County Municipal Building Authority. That way you won't lose your PILT money.
Well, thank you for that. Appreciate that. Mr. Zanotti, I just have a comment. So I grew up in Moab, Grand County, just north of we should tax him as he drives through. Which way do you drive? We should tax you as you drive through our county, or my old county. But I spent hundreds of hours skinning cat in Moab, but it was of the D8 and D7 variety when I grew up.
It still applies. Thank you.
Yes. No hairballs involved. And then to Bruce, sorry, Mr. Chair, but
no,
to
please.
Commissioner Adams' analogy, fifth grade math, if you compare money to time, 1 million seconds is 12 days, 1 billion seconds is 32 years, and 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years.
Wow.
To help you put things in perspective.
Thank you.
That was helpful.
Thank you,
Commissioner Cousins, we're glad you came. Thank you.
Very much. Have a good day.
All right. We have some projects on the pending list. Project 7.1 on your agenda would be Town of Scipio. So we'll invite them forward. And Candace, you can bring us up to speed.
We funded the Town of Scipio for this water system improvements. And you're probably looking at it going, why in the world 353 in all grant? Usually supplemental funding comes in for the same terms that the board authorized. So they have subsequently, they've started this project, it's almost completed. They've closed the loan, they've issued the bond, they've spent all that money, and the bond referendum was only for 120. They'd have to start over. They needed to build the well deeper. It went to 900 feet instead of 750.
You know, last year it wouldn't have had to.
Yeah, there were major increases in pipe and stuff, so this was unknown costs. So Mayor Sheridan and I have spoken quite a bit about this, you know, as she's wringing her hands on the phone. I know she is, and I couldn't see her, but they need some extra money just because stuff happens. And so we discussed it quite a bit, and though the board usually authorizes under the same terms, it doesn't make any sense to start all over. They need to finish paying their contractors. So the request is for $353,000 in grant. A question could be, I mean, this project was bigger than what CIB authorized it before. They had USDA funding, so it's a big project. But there were shortfalls, and they're back to just finish the project.
Well, you've come a long way, and you've listened to my shenanigans now for 4 hours, so I will allow you to introduce yourself and feel free to say anything, but I do know this board, and if you say nothing more than who you are, I suspect we'll get a motion and you can get on your way.
I'm Mayor Pam Sheridan from Scipio.
I'm Kurt Marchant with Ensign Engineering.
thank you for being with us. We'll turn to the board for questions or a motion. Commissioner Adams, I see you.
I'm not going to make a motion. I'm just going to make a comment. I want everybody to understand all of the sheetrock in the state of Utah comes from Scipio, right?
Close.
Okay. I rest my case.
It's more south.
Sigurd.
It comes from Sigurd. But they, it is close. They go through their town.
Yeah.
That portion
of
Monticello.
And when you're from Monticello, Sigurd and Scipio, it's like,
it looks the same.
Thank you.
He was a math teacher.
I didn't teach geography.
Mr. Galecki?
I'll make a motion.
Please.
Move to approve as presented.
Second.
Oh, my gosh.
So Mr. Galecki moves as presented. Mr. Zanotti seconds. Any discussion?
Bruce and I got...
I am flabbergasted.
I did that just for you.
I did it just for you. Holy smokes.
This is his legacy. Give it to him.
We need more discussion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining? Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate you very much. Thank you so much.
Thank you all.
Let's hope there's water at the end of the line, right?
Yeah, please do.
So far, so good.
Okay, we have a supplemental request, which puts us at item 7.2. You have an interesting number of this. E-Zion spell. Oh, here they are. So, Candace, if you'll give us a quick briefing.
Yes, first of all, I want to brief all of you as to our special numbering system. In Granicus, it's always set up as a meeting agenda, and they're numbered. So supplemental requests are number 7, no matter if we have them or not. So this is 7-2, so it's the second supplemental request on today's agenda. From East Zion Special Service District, it's for the building purchase and access road funding to act as a fire building. It's the purchase of the existing metal building, heating, electrical, retrofit it. It's in Mount Carmel to include design, engineering, and construction of a 672 square foot building with a training room, office, restroom. You see it. The original funding that CIB authorized was for $468,000. What you see there of the $74,000 extra that they need, it's the same terms. I'm showing you in the same terms that the board authorized the original funding. Costs have increased. There isn't sufficient funding in their original request. They have not closed the loan, and they're here to request this additional funding so that they can actually cover the costs of this new building. And I turn it over to the board.
Thank you, Candace. I hope you all understood that because I was a little lost. I had to ask the attorney to explain it to me.
You were visiting.
No, I was lost.
You can't text and drive, Keith.
I thought that was okay in San Juan County.
I didn't know they could text in San Juan County.
I apologize. If you'll introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the project.
Yeah, my name's Brad Freeman. I'm the fire chief for East Zion Special Service District, and we had this project to purchase an existing building and then just do an addition to turn it into a fire station, which we've done. We purchased the building. We're in there now. We're very grateful to the CIB committee for your generous contribution you gave us last year. We did stop a big fire going up the ravine. We're out there in the middle of nowhere. I mean, if a fire gets started in the state, I mean, this goes a long ways. Our next closest mutual aid's an hour away. So, and I know the governor always talks about closest forces concept to try to get on a fire quick, and we're in an area where it could burn a big part of the state there east of Zion. So, you know, and it's because of you guys we got our equipment out of my house in Hurricane where it's warmer so it won't freeze up there, and they were on this fire in 6 minutes. It was going up the ravine. It could have gone a long way. So that's just, I just told you that because you guys sometimes don't see the fruit of your efforts, and that's some of the fruit already. But what happened this year, we when Brenda told me, now, we don't like to have you come back a lot of times for more money. Now, make sure you put enough in. And she'd always tell me that. And here I am back. But I never thought we'd have a year like this. I mean, we we had the contractors that gave estimates say, now put in enough, but we don't have to go back because this is going to take some time to do the engineering, the soil tests. And then the asphalt guys, same way, put enough in. He goes, oh, it'll never go above this amount. Okay. So we were good. We got our engineering done, you know, all the red tape to go through the whole process. And now we're finally got our bids out. They went out. We got our bids back. And it's like building costs went up 40% this year. And asphalt and oil is from the petroleum business. It doubled this year just in the sense we got the CIB grant. So those are the two areas that are going up. The asphalt's going up by $25,000, and the construction's going up by about, it's the 23, about $40,000. So that's where we get. And then we put another contingency in there of $10,000 just in case there's some more price increases until we actually get a shovel in the dirt and the asphalt started. We got to get the asphalt before the snow flies because our fire trucks get stuck in the mud if we don't. We're in a dirt area and we just need this takes us out to the main road, this little asphalt road we're going to do. So like I said, we didn't count on petroleum doubling in price within less than a year. When we came to the CIB, gas was $2.28 a gallon. And now it's almost doubled. And
now it's insane. $1.78.
Yeah.
Now it's almost $4.50.
Yeah, so the two areas that, and then building costs, you go to Home Depot and a piece of plywood is $53 instead of $10 when we came to the CIB. So those are the engineering didn't change, and the building purchase, our existing metal building didn't change, but just those two things that just went crazy this year changed. And so I'm apologize, I have to come back, and we're asking is the same percentage that we were given earlier, because I talked to our attorney into the city, and we can actually come up with more money on our loan to pay our loan. We don't have a big tax base, but we can come up with that if the CIB can come up with the additional $54,000 in grant. So that's what we're asking.
Would you accept a motion?
I would welcome that.
That we approve it consistent with the previous terms in the amount of $74,658. $54,658 grant, $20,000 loan, 20 years at 2.5.
Thank you, Commissioner Lytle. That motion is in order. Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Ogden, was that you?
Yep.
Finally got one.
Got it right. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed or abstaining? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your patience today, and let's hope this gets her done.
Yep.
Act quickly, huh?
No, it will. We're going to get started right away, so.
Thank you, Chief. Drive safely.
Don't wait too long.
Okay.
It's 0.5% interest, by the way.
That's right.
Cycle. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the consistent of the
what you're looking at is not what you're getting, huh? Okay. At this point, Aaron, correct me if I misstep, but we have a number of legal issues that we need to discuss. We're involved in litigation and pending litigation and such, so it does require some discussion and some closed session discussion.
I need to make one discussion point, and I'll keep it really short.
Absolutely.
Short and sweet.
Okay, on ARPA, I want to invoke the KISS principle because I think we're in jeopardy if we don't get something done today.
Okay.
And so I'm going to just make a motion that we as a board request $200 million be diverted or be given to the CIB from the ARPA funds from the state. I think the skids have been greased. I think we're in a good position. The decision's going to be made in October. We can't afford to wait another 30 days to get our request in because everybody else in the state is trying to request that money. We have the authority as a board to make that request, and I think we ought to do it, and I make that motion.
Second motion, Mr. Chairman.
Would you make a second? I'd like to second his motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Adams and a second by Commissioner Lytle. Is that in order, Aaron?
Yeah, it's on the agenda.
It is on the agenda.
Yes, it is.
It requires reasonable specificity
for notice to the public, and I believe it is open to a vote today.
Great. Any further discussion? Not that we haven't discussed.
I'd like to see that Bruce lead that.
No. He's going to
discussion with the state.
I will, whether you want me to or not.
Well, no,
it can be collaborative.
There's I believe.
Hold on a second, Candace. The floor is yours.
There's a reason, and Bruce is very good, and he's been very proactive, but in speaking with Commissioner Chamberlain, he's worried that if too many voices are up there stomping around asking for CIB funding, he intends to make it so, and I'll let him know that you can talk to him, too, so that we don't all march in like some
I've crossed that bridge with him already.
Okay. So we'll leave it up to them, because
Thank you.
Commissioner Slaw was saying, you know, the staff should do it, that, you know, who's going to do it. There should just be a face.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion?
He's got a
face for radio. It's a really old face.
TV, too.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It carries unanimously. Thank you, Commissioner.
Sorry to
No problems at all. Okay, let's go back to the closed session. It will require a motion. It will also require, Pam, that we turn off the Zoom and clear the room. So for all of you who have hung in there this far, thank you very much for being here. Daniel Woodson, you can stay because he's our attorney.
So I'll move for the motion.
We have a motion by Mr. Zanotti to go into closed session.
Second it.
We have a second
Mayor
by Mayor Baker.
A five-minute recess?
Well, hold on a second here.
Okay, sorry.
Pam, are we good?
We're good.
Yes, what I would propose doing is taking a break now and getting, so we've provided lunch today so that you can enjoy your lunch while the attorneys talk to us and more casual conversation and I think better with a full belly.
I believe that.
Yeah, they will. Would you just take a vote on the motion?
Yeah, I will certainly do so. So I just wanted to make sure Pam was good then. So
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roll call vote on the motion, Pam. No problem. No.
You guys are just ahead of me here.
No, that's why I was trying to give you time.
Sorry. I needed a voting block, and then.
Use the one upstairs.
Okay. Treasurer Oaks.
Yes.
Mr. Galecki.
Aye.
Commissioner Ogden.
Aye.
Commissioner Lytle.
Aye.
Mayor Baker.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
I was like wondering if we were broadcasting the Google meeting today at 8:53. Did it go on?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we had about 25 people eavesdropping, so.
No, it's fine.
Engineers. There is.
Okay. Are we ready, Brenda?
Daniel, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate
it. At 1:06, we'll return to regular session and take a motion to end the closed session. We have a motion
second.
By Mr. Zanotti and a second by Mayor Baker. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great. We're back in regular session. Thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Adams. That's non-contestable in my book. And meeting is adjourned. Our next meeting is September 2nd. Right back here, same time, same place.